revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end?
It is time for us to use our power. For power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that.
Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Oh, my goodness. We have such great stuff going on this morning. There's going to be an interesting show in the 8 o'clock hour. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about some crazy parents out there. Parents that are spending $13 million for a birthday party for their $10 million for a birthday party for their 13-year-old. Yeah, I know you want to be in that family. Listen, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Don't forget, the St. Louis Public Schools Watch is going to be with us this morning. Stay with me.
Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Turn on your television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rough, but we got to keep your head up.
Keep your head up.
'Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun. Even in the darkness shall come. Oh, 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 oh.
It's a real song.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, so easy. Do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up. Get up. Did I say get up? You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Oh, my goodness. We have much, much, much business to tend to. It seems to me, it seems to me that we have so many issues that impact our community. It seems to me that so many issues that determine the direction of our community. And we have so many opportunities to put ourselves into the changing of our community. And the challenge to each and every one of us is what you going to do about it, okay? It's day two after Martin Luther King's birthday, after some folks have put away their fur coats and their jewelry. And after they digested their Martin Luther King breakfasts, and they've had their photographs taken, and they've attended their black and white balls for Martin Luther King birthday. Okay, send your dresses and suits back out to the cleaners. Okay, now what you gonna do? Now what you gonna do? You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning. I want to ask you this because I won't be here. But they were talking about if the state take over the school board.
They who, Dolores?
Archibald.
Okay.
That means if the state take over the school board, which he's for this, they would, the mayor can appoint who he wants on that school board. And I was thinking...
Okay, well, let me correct you before you go into that, okay?
Okay.
There are a couple of things that are being tossed about in conversations, and some are on paper. There was an appointed board put together by Kent King, the same person who allowed for the waiver of the waiver for Bill Roberti, the waiver that allowed him to be a superintendent. You cannot be a superintendent in a school unless you take the exam and you are trained to be the superintendent. Kent King granted him a waiver despite hundreds of people going down there in opposition to that and in clarity on that issue. Kent King put together a group of people. All of them are the same architects. I call it a death squad. They are the same architects, participants, or silent enablers of the Roberti, the failed Roberti slash Slay plan. So those people came out with a recommendation. Their recommendation is contingent upon, it is based upon the DSET. Hello, can you hear me? It is based upon the DSEG program. It is based upon the DSEG program, and the DSEG program is what they're using as the basis to defend or to create this third way of doing it, because they don't want they don't want a school board that has been elected by the people, for the people, and about the people. They don't want the state to take over because that requires too much legislative participation, and they don't think they're going to be able to win it that way. So they've come up with a third way of getting into the district and controlling the money of the district and controlling the decisions of the district and controlling the power of the district. People need to understand that the school discussion is not a policy discussion. It is a discussion that is about power. It is a political discussion. It's not a substantive discussion about what are the different policies and practices that this board wants. It's not that. It's about power. Now, what has happened is that the third tier of this is a three-bodied board, a group of people, cabal, if you will. I think that's probably a better description of it, a three-person cabal that has effectively nullified your right to vote, because you could go out and vote on election day for a school board. The members can be elected, but check it out. Once they get up there, they have no power because the cabal is running it. Who are the people that decide the cabal? Three white men in an 87% district. If you want to talk Martin Luther King, we're going back 40 years. We're going back 80 years. We're going back 150 years, to which this is another way for a minority, this is apartheid, another way for a white minority to run and control the African majority. Take away their rights, take away their taxes, the taxes that they pay, get free labor off of the backs of our babies. No, take away the taxes, forget that. This is about free labor from African people, once again, off the backs of our babies. They're taking their money and using their money to grow their businesses. Let me say that again. They're taking our babies' money. They're not educating our babies. And they're using that money to grow their own businesses. Now, who are the three members of this cabal? We have three white men. We have Jim Shrewsbury. We have Francis Slay, and we have, who would want to live in St. Louis? Nobody wants to live in St. Louis, Baby Boy Blunt. Those are the three members of this cabal. Now think about it. What do any of them know about education? Not a dang thing. Bump that. Put that aside. Because you can run for the Board of Education and you not know anything about education, and if the citizens elected you like they elected Bob Archibald, you can be elected. Bump that. The thing about it is that we've elected people to run the board. Who are you to run the board? Who are you to run around us and have an in run around us who have either voted for, worked for, strategized for, pushed for, embraced, want to make the decisions of our school board? Who are these three people? And if we're going to look at the record of people that have their hands or their fingers or their stuff and our stuff, let's look at it. What's the legacy of Francis Slay in the St. Louis public schools? Well, when his people controlled, the people he picked controlled, we lost 24 points in accreditation. Thousands of students fled the district. Hundreds of teachers left the district. Private companies under Francis Slay said, we're not even going to give money to the district anymore because you all are so reckless and reprehensible and irresponsible with the money. That's what private businesses said. Come on now. So now we're supposed to put the school back into the hands of, the decision-making back into the hands of an unprecedented plummeting of the St. Louis public schools. Let's be real. Let's be real. It's a crazy idea, but it's a crazy idea with money and teeth and money and teeth behind it. And money and teeth at the heart of it. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Do you know how much, what's the word I'm looking for? Fiending. How do you know how much Francis Slay fiends for that money? You know what fiend means? You know what fiend means? All folks out there that have had any experience with people that are addicted to drugs, when they can't get their hit, oh, they fiend for that, baby. This isn't a longing. This is so past longing. This is fiending. Francis Slay lies in his little bunk bed at home, one with the little cowboy sheets on it. Lies in bed and dreams of fiends of that St. Louis public school money. He is obsessed with it. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. And I, for one, am all about the idea of the concept of the position. I'm all about the position of, you know what? You know what? We cannot enable any junkie out here. We cannot enable anybody that is addicted. Cannot, must not do it. So I'm all about helping Francis lay up off of his addiction into the world of sobriety. Get you off your addiction to something that harms all kinds of families, harms children. When adults get addicted, and he's addicted to the St. Louis Public Schools money and the power that comes with it. And we're going to do an intervention, as we have done in every election since his board's majority has been on. We're going to do an intervention and get you clean and sober. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. 1-877-920-WGNU.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather. Northbound 270 between Gravelway and Big Bend. You've got traffic building there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit on into the landing. Looks like it's an okay drive at this hour. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant. Expect no delays. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road. You've got a slowdown. And then again at Spady through McKnight. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, that traffic's starting to build. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 255, 270 interchange there. Look for some delays as you hit that interchange. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect no delays. And eastbound 44 at Soccer Park through 270, look for some slowdowns as you hit that 270 interchange. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Mostly cloudy in the morning, becoming partly sunny throughout the day. Chance of occasional flurries with a high in the lower 30s. For this evening, partly cloudy till early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s. For Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, partly sunny throughout the rest of the day with a high in the upper 30s. And then on Friday, partly cloudy with a high near 30. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. More riveting talk radio with Liz Brown is on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's your number, mama?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up to me, 1-877-920-WGNU. Myra.
Yes, I'm from Sumner High School.
All right.
And this is really serious, and we're about tired of it in terms of what they're trying to do. They're not giving the
letters. Let's be clear on who the they is.
Okay. The board of education, not the ones, it's about four of them on there that are not giving the lady a chance, those that voted to get her out, that's Versailles. They're not giving her a chance to do anything, and it's like we've had about four superintendents, and it's like a plot to make us fail, the St. Louis Public Schools, to make us fail, because they're not giving us adequate time, adequate people to come in to do what they need to do.
You know what, Myra, one of the things I think that is wicked on their part is to act like education is as simple as a light, turning on a light switch.
Well, they shouldn't send business people to run. This is not a business. This is education. This is our children. And therefore, you know, how can they send somebody in, and how can Slay, how can the rest of people let all these people come in to be superintendents when they had no plan, nothing to
no experience and no experience
to help us to give our children a chance?
But you know what they have done, Myra?
And then the aldermen sit there, and I'm really disgusted.
Can't wait, Myra. Myra, can you hear me? Myra, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you. Throw in something here. These are people that not only are they from the business sector, and children are not widgets, okay? The other piece of it is that they're from the business sector with no education experience at all.
I know.
At all.
If they did, they sound really stupid in terms of what they're saying and how they're going about doing things. And so to me, it's like, who are these people? They're like aliens coming in trying to teach something they have no business about all. And I can see now that they really just want the money.
Well, do we remember what I said? Remember what I said 4 years ago when I said, you know what? We need to shut it down. Kids should not go to school because these people want your money, and we will suffer from that. Remember that?
Yes, I remember when we had a meeting in terms of the union and a lot of other things. And
no, it's more than that, Myra. We asked for, we said kids should not go to school on the first day of school, the first week of school, because of what they were doing. Okay.
I was in agreement.
All right.
We just did not vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that more people was for it, but it somehow seemed like it changed, and the people were not. It seemed like we turned around and said there was not going to be a strike, but it was too many people out there that was ready for a strike. So I don't understand that either.
Well, that was the leadership of Mary Armstrong.
Well, I can understand that too.
Okay, if people wanted a strike, Mary Armstrong said no. I remember that. I remember that.
So now I'm looking at things a little different, a little tired. And
don't be tired. I mean, acknowledge your tiredness, but we got a whole lot of work. And Myra, also, I want you to be emboldened by, I want you to be filled up with the fact that there was a huge win that took place last week when the State Board of Education did not try and vote to nullify our votes with this three-person body.
I am so glad.
That's a big win. That's a big, big, big win. The battle is still on. And here is another concession that Francis Slay and his folks have made. Their people decided to run. Bob Archibald and Ron Jackson filed on the last day yesterday to run. They weren't planning on running because they were going to get their vote from the State Board of Education, and they didn't. It's a big deal. This is a big win. And now the slate must be wiped completely clean. Ron Jackson, Bob Archibald should not be returned to the St. Louis, must not be returned to the St. Louis for the complete message to be sent to Francis Slay. Nobody wants any of the stuff that you're trying to sell us. Nobody wants it.
Nobody. That's true.
And we've gotten rid of every person that Francis Slay has brought in front of us. So let's just wipe the slate clean with this last election. Let's be done.
Well, I hope we can do that, and I hope people come out, and I hope people hear, because this is serious, and
Myra, I'm so sorry, but I just have to say one more thing. Understand also, we have an election in March and we have an election in April.
I'm going to do my part.
Okay.
I'm going to try to campaign and get the rest of the teachers. Well, we already know.
But wait a minute. The election in March, Myra. The election in March for the president of the board. I'm sorry, president of the board of aldermen. That's another election that's coming up in March. And we need to be out there because Jim Shrewsbury has not been helpful on this issue at all. We've got to get rid of him, too, because he's with Francis Slay on this. He's been meeting with Francis Slay to pick the people for this three-person board. He hasn't heard a sit as he hasn't had a single hearing on this. He's got to go, too.
I know teachers are informed. It's the fact of trying to strategize to do with the community. To get them to know, because the post is not fair in their deliverance of what is happening to us. So people know, the teachers know, because we're in the trenches. The fact remains is that the
whole lot of public went up to Jefferson City. A whole lot of public went up to Jefferson City many times on this issue, but enough of the public doesn't know. That's our job. That's our responsibility. Got to roll, Myra. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. And email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Robin.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know I do about the school situation with the Board of Aldermen and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a question for you. I wanted to know if you knew about the changes that they made with the child support payments. Now they no longer mail out paper checks to child support parents. You know, custodial parents, they either have to get their payments by direct deposit if they have a banking account or on a sure e-card, like a debit card. And the problem that I'm having with it is people that don't have banking accounts, they have to have this debit card, and each time that you use the debit card, they take a fee out.
So really?
Yes, and that's
really?
Still taking money from the children's child support.
Really?
Yes.
When did that happen?
Well, they started sending out letters back, I think, in May. And it actually went into effect, I believe, November.
What is the fee? That every time you use your card?
Like a regular debit card. If you go to the grocery store, you go to an ATM machine, or if you go to Walgreens, just like a regular debit card, they take out. Like $1.50.
There's nothing that you can, there is no place that you can go to take that card where there are no fees taken
up? It's just like a regular
card. Oh, that's awful. That's awful. And I don't care if it's 50 cents.
Exactly.
It is your child's money.
I send my daughter to the a neighborhood store to get something from the, you know, a neighborhood grocery store, and they charge $2.85.
Horrible. That's awful. That is awful.
And there are a lot of, you know, custodial parents that don't have, you know, direct deposit or a banking account, so they're stuck using this your e-card and still getting money taken away from them. So it's like the state is still got their hands in, you know, in the pocket of the people.
Absolutely.
And did you know that St. Louis University also bought the Family Division of Family Services building on Lindell and Grand?
They've been fiending for that building for decades.
And they got it.
They've been fiending for that building for decades.
They got the building. So now the different services are all split up all over the north and south side of St. Louis.
They've been wanting that building forever.
And they got it. Have a good day, Ms. Brown.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Hey, is George Bush the F word? I'm talking about fascist. Huh. We're going to be talking about that in the 9 o'clock hour. We have a whole lot of stuff. We got riveting radio right here. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, you do. Get on down to Sears right here in the city of St. Louis, the only one in the city of St. Louis. It is the place to go to get what you need, so get down there and tell them that I told you to.
You've probably seen the stories in the news about disreputable credit counseling agencies, and that's why you need to know the NFCC difference. I'm Susan Keating with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. NFCC agencies are accredited and have certified counselors. They are nonprofit and community governed with a real stake in helping you. Knowing the NFCC difference can make all the difference, so call today, 1-800-388-2227, or visit nfcc.org.
Coming up on this evening's Sloan Ranger Show, in the 6 p.m. hour, Lloyd asks, can the moon save the Earth? With his guest, Greg Mariniak, from the St. Louis Science Center and the McDonald Planetarium. That's Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, 5 till 7 tonight on AM 920 WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, you need to get up, you need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
How you doing this morning?
Kenneth, good morning.
How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I was calling about what I'm disturbed is about is black folks that's following and doing what Francis Lade and doing what he said to about the children in the schools. That's what's bothering me is the black folks is doing it to them. It's really not Francis Lade. It's the black folks.
It is not. It is. It is not black folks. It is Francis Lade with a handful of people that are licking up behind him and doing what he wants. There are always people within any group that have a handful of people that work against the interest. It's not about black folks. It is about what Francis Lade thinks of African people. And the fact of the matter is that people of African descent in the city of St. Louis have seen through this. Why? Because Darnetta Klingstad didn't get reelected, did she?
Oh, no,
okay,
no,
neither did Jim Buford. He didn't get elected either, did he?
Oh,
So I'm saying that the people of African descent out here get this. We're working through this, and there's a beauty. When they went up to Jefferson City last week to speak to the State Board of Education, mostly African people up there. Oh, folks, get it. There's a handful of people that lick up behind people like Francis Lade. Those people are easily dealt with. I'm clear. This is about Francis Lade and his hatred of our community. Period. Dot.
One more thing. Have they in Jefferson City ever passed legislation about recalling those folks?
No. No, it has not. And I don't know if it's going to be introduced this year or not. Don't know.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Welcome to the wake-up call. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I remember you told them, listen, keep your children home because you're going to regret it. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I want to say to parents. We can stop talking about I'm a parent myself and I was a teacher. I saw that my children learn because when they came home at night, I was tired too. But I want to see what your lesson is. What is your homework? Do your homework. Let me see it. Parents need to not only ask their children to homework, have homework, look at it, read it, see if it's written correctly. See if it's the same thing every day. Children won't have the same homework every day. And don't let your children come to school, come home and you ask, how was school today? Ask, where is your homework? What did you do at school? What studies did you work with today? What teachers did you work with? What did you do? What did they say? What is required? Bring me a book. Let's read the table of contents. There used to be a teacher from Dunbar who's dead now, so people know her, Miss Artemis Bass, who had her children read the table of contents the first week of school. If we don't get to it, you know what's supposed to be in the book. Mm-hmm. And so parents need to do this too. And we can't let the people say that the teachers are not teaching. The teachers are teaching. We don't know what kind of homes these children are going to and coming from.
Look, this is a collaborative thing.
Wait a minute. Let me finish. So we have got to do our part in saying, parents,
I guess she is
check
a teacher.
Your children's homework. Please check it. And get in school when they have, if you have to work so hard that you can't go another time, go to the time that they have set up for you to meet the teachers and find out how your child has done. They have this twice a year.
All right, now.
And so I'm asking the parents, see that their children study. Don't give them all the love money can buy, like iPods and stuff. We didn't produce those, so we don't need those. And that's nice to have, but look at it in the store and leave it there. Study, study. Study. This is what the Japanese did to America. When we burned
okay,
them
and
out,
I got to go.
Lick you. I got to get you. And this is what black people got to say. We're going to get you.
Thanks for
and
your
I love you.
All right. I guess she told me. That is a teacher, a former teacher, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. And I'm going to be on a panel on Sunday, actually, at New Sunnymount Church right there on West Florissant, it's going to be a very, very, very interesting panel. It's going to be all about education. Senator Rita Days is going to be on it. John Moulton's going to be on it. And Bonita Canute is going to be the moderator. It's going to be a great. And I'm going to be on the panel as well. And Ron Jackson is supposed to be on it as well. It should be a very, very, very spirited discussion about the state of public schools. And you need to be there this Sunday. I'm sorry, this Saturday on the 20th. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be speaking to a writer of an article that uses the F word to describe Boy George. And the F word that I'm referring to is fascist. And I love the idea. When I read this article, I love the idea of it because people throw terms around all the time. And they don't know the meaning of them, or they don't know the context in which they are being used. So this is a wonderful opportunity to have a discussion. Is he a fascist? What is a fascist? We're going to have that discussion. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, I'm going to be talking with some people that have come out with a plan and a position about parents that are throwing these. Check this out. A parent has thrown a $10 million birthday party for their 13-year-old child, the child that was turning 13. Insane. Is it insane for parents to be having birthday parties for three-year-olds? Is it insane for parents to be having birthday parties for three-year-olds? Of course it is. Of course it is. If you're inviting dozens and dozens and dozens of people, people are paying $20, $30 for presents for three-year-olds. Come on now. What can you do? The question is, what can you do? Well, we're going to have that discussion about what you can do. what you should be doing. Should you be throwing a party? Should you be part? And what can you do instead of doing that? We're going to have that discussion in the 8 o'clock hour. And then of course, 6 minutes from now, we're going to have the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. So all of that, so much more. That's why they call this Riveting Radio. My name is Liz Brown. We have a lot of business to tend to. I'm going to be discussing, of course, in the next hour, all of the things that happened at the school board meeting last night. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I'd like to add this story to the story that we did yesterday. I was very excited about the story that we did yesterday when we talked to our guest from Kenya, who was very close to what is happening in Somalia. He's a columnist, a writer, and a former UN official. And he speaks to this issue of Somalia. And the incredible thing about what is happening in Somalia is that the United States military is saying exactly the same thing that they said as a result of Iraq. Saying exactly the same thing. We will be greeted as liberators. It's only going to take us a few minutes. And the same motivation, the same reason that our military went to Iraq is the same reason that they're going to Somalia. How does a tin man say it? He calls it oil. 1-877-920-WGNU. Chuck.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm outstanding.
Several questions. Naturally, I'm very concerned about this issue with the school board. This is not a question. This is a comment. But I'm wondering, I missed your show yesterday. I wasn't aware that you would be on.
Why wouldn't I be on yesterday?
I know. Well, it was Martin Luther. I'm sorry, Monday.
Okay.
I did hear you yesterday.
Like, why wouldn't I be on yesterday?
Monday. So by it being your birthday, and by happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Belated. And Martin Luther King's birthday, I had been listening Friday, and I knew you had a lot of activities going on. I didn't think you were there on Monday.
Well, you missed a special show. You missed a very special show.
I did.
But you can go to White Rose.
At 6, and I heard music and stuff, so I said, well, maybe she's not going to be on today.
Well, WhiteRoseSociety.org has all of the hours that you missed on Monday, so you can go there.
Okay, that's fine. My next question is, I was contacted by Lewis Reed's organization.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to them maybe a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got my yard signs. I haven't heard anything else.
Okay.
I need, the phone number to call them because I had asked for yard signs and indicated I would support him in the upcoming election.
All right. I will take care of that.
If you would just put that campaign number out.
Okay, will do.
I would appreciate that. What was the last one? I forgot. Well, anyway, those two are important to me also.
All right, Chuck,
with
I will Mark put that.
Seen so early.
Absolutely. Done and done.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. Be back with the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. You need to stay with me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and
difficult the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
Be careful with the 18-wheelers, because the ice on top of the 18-wheelers is going to be like sheets of glass flying off the tops.
That's a truck driver who slid around Texas early this morning. A huge winter storm system is moving east. Hundreds of thousands of people are still without power. Now, frozen fruit may be good, but it really doesn't do you much good at all if it is still on the trees, and that's what farmers in California are dealing with, and it could put a squeeze on your grocery bill soon. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
Like the cost of gasoline during oil scares, the price of oranges is increasing nationwide. John McIntyre is a citrus broker. He's an expert in supply and demand.
I don't think there's any low-price oranges left out there. I think they were cleaned up over the weekend, so now we're going to see the change.
By some estimates, $1 billion worth of crops have been destroyed, but California agriculture officials say they won't know an exact number for a while. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
President Bush meets today with Republican leaders who don't like his plan to send troops into Iraq, more troops that is, and have said so. The bloodshed, meanwhile, continues.
A suicide bomber driving a truck packed with explosives hit a police station in Kirkuk. That's a contested oil-rich city in northern Iraq. An ABC staffer who lives nearby reports many dead and wounded, mostly civilians who were standing outside of the police station. The blast also caused nearby apartment buildings to collapse, so there may be even more dead and wounded in those buildings.
ABC's Dan Harrison, Baghdad. The House takes up a measure today that could cut in half the interest rates on government loans for students. Congressional budget trackers estimate that a gradual reduction over 5 years could cost nearly $6 billion. Expect an official announcement soon from Barack Obama. The Illinois senator said on his website that he is forming an exploratory committee to look into his chances as a Democratic presidential candidate in 2008. Fire still burning. Burning at a train derailment site near Louisville, Kentucky. No serious injuries, but many evacuations. ABC News.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things have sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
You can live truly debt-free on just the money you already make using my proven system. Let me send you a free tape today that shows you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, no matter how much debt you have.
I'm completely debt-free now thanks to John Commuta.
Call now and I'll rush you my free tape. Call 1-800-618-4001. That's 1-800-618-4001. 1-800-618-4001.
The axe fell on a lot of jobs at a California radio station after a contest went horribly wrong.
Sacramento, California area radio station KDND has fired three morning show air personalities and seven other staffers after a woman died trying to win a video game system during a water drinking contest. The firings come a day after station officials suspended the show while they investigated the death of Jennifer Strange. She was one of about 18 participants trying to win a Nintendo Wii by seeing how much water they could drink without going to the bathroom. Strange drank nearly 2 gallons of water before she died. Preliminary autopsy results indicate she died from water intoxication. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
He can float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, and now Muhammad Ali can get a discount when he goes to the movies. The legendary boxer turned 65 years old today. His body's been ravaged by Parkinson's and other ailments, but Ali's family says his mind is still pretty sharp and he's at peace. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Here's another WGNU News update. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, the Missouri Association for Social Welfare's St. Louis chapter is sponsoring a panel discussion with local state representatives and senators January 19th, 11:45 in the morning, at the Heritage House Apartments on Olive. Some of the topics on the agenda will be this year's budget surplus and the role of Medicaid in Missouri's health care system. State Representatives Jeanette Mott Oxford, Margaret Donnelly, and Rodney Hubbard, along with State Senator Rita Hurd Days, will join in the discussion about the upcoming legislative session and which bills of importance will be heard. The forum is free and open to the public. Former St. Peter's Mayor Sean Brown, who pleaded guilty of soliciting and accepting a bribe from the company that installed red light traffic cameras in St. Peter's, will be sentenced January 29th. He had been scheduled for sentencing last Thursday, but that was put off due to a crush in cases, according to federal judges. Brown resigned his term as mayor last fall. He could get a prison sentence of 18 to 24 months. And in sports, men's college basketball, the Fighting Illini are in Minnesota tonight. They've lost three of their last four, the Illini have, including a loss last Sunday at Michigan State. Illinois comes into the matchup 13-6 overall and 1-3 in conference play, while Minnesota's Golden Gophers have lost two in a row. They're 7-10 overall and 1-2 in Big Ten play. Tip-offs tonight at 6 at Williams Arena. I'm Peyton Colston, and that's this hour's WGNU News Update.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your forecast for, or your traffic and your forecast. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit through the landing. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from from Merrimack River Bridge through 270. Look for a little slowdown going on there. Eastbound 70 from Highway K through Mid Rivers, you've got a slowdown as well. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, it is starting to stack up a bit. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Big Bend, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant, you've got the delays going on there. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and McKnight, and then again from Highway 141 through Mason, you can expect some slowdowns. Eastbound 70 from 270 to St. Charles Rock Road, you've got that traffic building there. Northbound 270 at Dorset and 70, you've got slow traffic in the right lanes. From westbound 64 from 15th Street through the 5570 merge, look for some delays. And northbound 55 at Butler Hill through 255, look for some slowdowns going on there. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather. Mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day. Occasional flurries this morning with a high in the lower 30s. This evening, partly cloudy till early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in mid-20s. Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, partly sunny later on in the day with a high in the upper 30s. And Friday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 30. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions and 20 degrees. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, it's more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs and Liz is up next on the Wake-Up Call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. To you. You were born with power.
Well, well, well.
about peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I'm here with Peter Downs, as we are every Wednesday. And once again, Peter, a lot we have to talk about.
A lot's been going on.
A lot's been going on in a very short period of time, and let's get to some of it, all right? Last night there was a school board meeting.
Yes, there was.
Okay, and was it well attended?
It's pretty well attended, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the things that were on the school board agenda. What's the first thing on there, what's the first point that you would like to make about what happened at last night's school board meeting? Was the vote generally the way that you can predict things are going to be?
Generally, I think there were a few. I'd say it generally was so. There were a couple things that failed, and it's the way they failed is typical of what's been going on the last few months.
And the things that they say prior to the failing of the vote is a fascinating insight into the insanity of those that are in opposition to the progress of this district. And I use as an example for that the vote on the issue that was on the agenda to let parents and teachers weigh into, get a survey from parents and teachers about how they feel about the state ignoring protocol and previous practices and jumping 2 years ahead to try to unaccreditate St. Louis Public Schools. How did that vote go? How did that vote go?
That measure failed. Mm-hmm. Vote of 3-4.
How could it fail? It's just asking parents and teachers to weigh in on this.
Well, it failed because 4 people said no, but their comments on why I think are interesting. As you said, there's the President Veronica O'Brien commented that she didn't see any need for it because Danforth and Freeman did a survey.
Frankie Freeman.
Bill Danforth and Frankie Freeman.
And Francis Clay.
Yeah, had a survey done by one of Slay's puppet groups, and they felt that was enough. Survey's been done.
Did you get called?
No.
I didn't get called either, huh? Well, we're going to finish this conversation. Stay with us. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Stay with us.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in AM 920 WGNU every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, then go do the right thing.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
The award-winning wake-up call, analyzing the story shaping your world.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Casey Marshall calling you from Laclede School, room 209. Miss Liz, I love the African necklace I wore to Red Lobster. I wish I could go with you to Ghana. Miss Liz, you are the best and one of a kind. Miss Liz, this is Casey Marshall from room 209. Where dignity reigns supreme.
Hey, baby.
Have a great summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. And before we go, I do want to let you all know that I am going to be on a panel on this issue of education. On Saturday, January 20th, it's a forum that begins promptly at 1 o'clock and ends promptly at 2:30. It's going to take place at the New Sunny Mount Missionary Baptist Church, 4700 West Florissant, at the corner of West Florissant and Shreve. The moderator for this discussion is Bonita Carnute, who is, of course, from Channel 2's, and she's a news anchor there. John Moten is going to be on there from the St. Louis Black Leadership Roundtable. Bert Schulte, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, and Ron Jackson is supposed to be there. Look, it's going to be a spirited discussion. Be there on Saturday at 1 o'clock. It ends at 2:30 at the New Sunny Mount Missionary Baptist Church, 4700 West Florissant and Shreve. My issue is an onslaught on public education, contrived or necessary. Huh. I'm going to be talking on that issue. That should be fun, Peter. I am looking forward to it. We're talking about right now what happened at the school board meeting last night. And We're talking about this issue that was on the agenda to allow teachers and parents to weigh in on a survey about whether or not they want a state takeover and a state to do something that they've never done before, and that is to jump ahead in the accreditation process and put the thing, those public schools, under state control. What were some of the explanations given by those that voted against this? What were some of their explanations?
Well, let's take them one by one. Okay. The Veronica O'Brien's explanation basically was, you know, one group already did a survey, so there's no need for any more.
Okay.
Ron Jackson's explanation was that the parents have already spoken with their silence. He made reference to a meeting at Carlane a couple weeks ago, a new group called Save Our Schools, mm-hmm. which opposes the state takeover. And he said that he saw in the newspaper reported that there were 75 people at that meeting. And so that means that outside of those 75 people, everybody else supports the state takeover. That's his interpretation on it.
So then, wait a minute, when we were meeting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people 3 years ago every week on a Thursday at the Gateway Classic, when hundreds and hundreds of parents and children and teachers and elected officials were coming out to those meetings every single week, what did that mean? Did that mean that there was support for Ron Jackson and Francis Clay's board?
Well, he would say yes. He would say there are 35,000 students and you only have a few hundred people at your meeting.
And so I guess then the election of Francis Clay's board doesn't mean anything either.
That's right. The majority of voters did not vote for them.
Did not vote for them. Okay, so that's Ron Jackson's insane response to it. Parents have, so when 200 people went up to Jefferson City, more than 200 people went up to Jefferson City last week, and when over 300 people went up to Jefferson City a few years ago to speak to the same people that they're speaking to now, that doesn't mean anything either to Ron Jackson.
Now, Ron Jackson dismissed everybody as the usual cast of characters. So to him, we know, and I think reporters, anybody who's there, opponents of state takeover packed that room in Jefferson City, mm-hmm. and said there were hundreds of people there. But to him, he said it was the exact same people who were at the meeting at Carr Lane, which he said was 75 people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was.
It's that new math.
I do have to say, there's a woman who came up to me after the meeting. She's a parent of children in the district, who was just incensed at those comments. And last night was her first board meeting. It was the first time she attended any board meeting. She opposes a state takeover. But that was the first meeting she went to, and to have her kind of her brand new presence just dismissed as someone who's always there complaining month after month, it just really upset her.
Mm. And in terms of Ron Jackson's response to it, what did he say? Bob Archibald.
Bob Archibald. Bob Archibald said that he thought it was a good idea. He thought it was a good idea to survey the parents and teachers and find out what they thought. But if it was done, he wanted it done right. So he voted no.
Well, that's kind of like saying, I support books for children. Children need books. Books are very good for children to learn how to read. But I don't know who the authors of those books are going to be, so I'm going to vote against books. That's insane.
It is kind of like that, yes.
It's
we
insane.
Have, and there's...
Work the details of it out.
That's right. So as we've said again and again, and not just us, but it's been on lots of things, you know, the role of the board is to set policy. And you adopt an idea, and you give the administration to work out how it's going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us, the three of us who voted in favor of the survey, we want it done right, too. And we want valid results, too. And we said so.
How many people were included in this when Francis Slay's team did this little fake survey, how many people did they say they talked to?
Well, they said they did two different things. For teachers and parents, they said they talked to, I think it was 17 people.
17?
For teachers and parents, yes. And then for just... For just
17 people is a survey?
They did. They called it a focus group of teachers and parents. The survey then was this generic voters, people who are not people who are not involved with the school system.
They don't know if they talk to any parents. Do they know that they
talk? In the survey, they do not know if they talk to any parents.
They don't know if they've talked to anybody that's ever had any kids in the St. Louis public schools.
That's right.
So the St. Louis Public Schools is talking about talking to the stakeholders in the district from the perspective of being a parent, being a and being a teacher in the district.
Yes.
And how many people, okay, they talked to this survey that Ron Jackson said is valid. We've already done it. That Veronica O'Brien said is valid. We don't need to do it again. They only talked to 17 people in a focus group, 17 teachers in a focus group. How many other people out there, were they registered voters in the city of St. Louis?
Right. They talked to 600 registered voters.
600 registered. That's it?
Yes.
That's all they talked to?
Yes.
How many students are in the St. Louis public schools?
I think it's approximately 3,290.
3,000 or 30?
I'm sorry, 33,000. 33,000. Dropped off the first word there. 33,290.
And they talked to 600 random people out there.
Yes.
And also... And
that means more than the hundreds who went up to Jeff City.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. In the mind of a Ron Jackson and a Veronica O'Brien, whatever kind of place that would be to have to be there. But whatever that means, 600 people, and these could be a person that doesn't know anything about what's going on in the St. Louis public schools.
Yes.
Could be, we don't know what part of the city they talk to, because 87% of the kids that go to the city of St. Louis public schools are people of African descent. We don't know how many people of African descent they talk to, or were they targeted to a place where people of African descent live. We don't know that, do we?
No.
We could. These could all be 600 people who've never had a child go to, who has grown up with, I believe in private schools. I don't believe in public schools, and I don't know anything about what's going on. And if what you're, and it's more of a push-pull, because if they don't know what's going on in the school district, the caller is going to tell them what's going on in the school district. So it's really a push-pull more than a real, people can, a poll of saying, do you like George Bush or not? You're going to have somebody that's going to have some knowledge that's going to have an opinion about that.
Right.
These very well could have been people that have, like, how could you have a poll on George Bush when you're polling people that have never heard of George Bush and doesn't know anything about what George Bush does?
Yeah, I think it was very much a push-pull. And one of the things that actually a lot of people criticize about the poll is that they claim it was modeled after some national thing that's done on people's attitudes towards public schools. But the national poll has two sets of questions. One is the general, what do you think of public schools, or what do you think of your school district? And then the other set is, what do you think of your child's own school?
Mm-hmm.
So right away, I mean, you find out which people you're talking to actually have kids in public school.
There
you can see the difference between those who have kids in public schools and those who don't have any connection to public schools.
Absolutely.
But the other thing they find out is that people, in general, from their own experiences, they like their own public schools.
Mm-hmm.
So that people continually give their child's own school an A or a B rating, while they're giving public schools in general a D or an E,
mm-hmm.
or a D and an F, whatever grading scale you want to use. Like this poll that was done, they didn't ask people about their own child's school. It was just a general, what do you think about St. Louis public schools? There's nothing in the poll that would tell them whether or not these people have kids in public school.
Have ever had kids in
public school. Or have ever.
Mm-hmm. Or know anything about the public schools.
And there's no way of, and you don't have that balance, as it were, that measure of, all right, is what they think of public schools in general, is that a reflection of their experience or a reflection of what they're reading in the newspaper?
Exactly. Exactly. 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm having a conversation this morning with Peter Downs. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to here. We will be back after these words. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 270, Dorset, McKelvey. Look for an accident. Right lane's blocked. That's near the McKelvey overpass. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 at Ball Avenue into the 5570 merge. Look for some delays. Westbound 5570 split at the 64 split all the way into Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some delays there. Eastbound 40 from Ballast through McKnight. Expect delays, as well as from 141 through Mason Road. Expect delays there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is looking good from the gravel pit into the landing. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge through 270 is on the move. Eastbound 70 from K through Mid Rivers Mall. Look for delays there. Northbound Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, is looking good. And northbound 270 between Big Bend all the way back through Gravoy, you can expect some slowdowns there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at this hour's weather for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, partly cloudy, high around 30. For this evening, partly cloudy, not quite as cold, low in the mid-20s. Moving on to Thursday, mostly cloudy through the afternoon, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the mid-30s. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high around 30. Currently, we have 21 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 20 in clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call at St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. This is riveting talk radio, The Wake Up Call, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Do you feel confident about your money? If you're not sure, then join me, David Gaines, each Thursday morning from 11 to noon as we discuss the issues that affect your money on It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. We'll have insightful guests discussing the topics that affect your money. That's Thursday mornings from 11 to noon for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America, Incorporated, member NASD SIPC. David Gaines, representative, Heartland Bank and Securities America are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
Be in the know as you're on the go with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Kaylin Dixon, call you from the Clee School, second grade room, 209. I'm calling you to thank you for coming to our school and spending time with our class. School is almost out. This summer, I'm going to spend the summer with my family. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the pretty African necklace you gave me. I just love it. Yesterday, I received an achievement trophy at our Awards Day program. Have a wonderful summer. This is Caitlin Dixon for Room 209.
Predictancy,
right? So,
prank.
Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call, and this is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Peter Downs, and Peter, let's talk about this bond issue that was on the agenda.
Sure.
This is another act of madness. Wait a minute. And before we get to that, I just have to just weigh in a little bit on the people that are running for that have filed to run, because the filing day closed. Was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday,
yes.
Filing closed for the April elections. And Archibald and Jackson decided to get into the race. And it's just amazing to me. It's like these people are running on this concept of don't vote. I mean, I shouldn't be here. I mean, you know, get rid of me. Get rid of me. Vote for me. Get rid of me. Vote for me. They're running on the concept that they shouldn't be in office, that there shouldn't be a board. These are people that are out here almost every day saying, get rid of the elected board. We don't need one. I'm running for it. Fire me.
Yeah, it really surprised me to see their names on the ballot, because just recently they've been campaigning for 8 months to abolish the board. You know, Bob Archibald even had a discussion series at his history museum on how elected boards don't work and they should be abolished. So, I don't understand how you run for something
and then say, fire me. You know, I mean,
you run for something that you're saying shouldn't exist.
Exactly.
It is just what you're saying. It says, I'm running to get rid of myself.
Exactly. It's an act of insanity. It is an absolute act of insanity. So we have about 10 people, running?
10 people filed.
10
yes.
people filing for the office. The election is in April. And it's going to be very interesting because, the fact that Ron Jackson and Archibald waited to the last minute, I think it says two things. One, they thought that something was going to happen up in Jefferson City that didn't happen in Jefferson City. They thought for sure that they were going to have this little three-person cabal appointed to run the St. Louis Public Schools. And then secondly, they thought that they were going to be the last people on the ballot because that gives you some kind of advantage. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, there's kind of the general wisdom with the ballots is that the first spot and the last spot get the most votes. Everything else being equal. Uh-huh. People don't know anything about the candidates. They vote for either the first candidate or the last candidate. The first ones were taken. Like I said, they were gambling that the state was going to take us over in January.
Right.
That gamble didn't pan out. And so they tried to be last, and then somebody else came in after them and got that last spot.
Oops. So they didn't get that either. And you know what, to me, that again speaks to their incompetence and their inability to understand the world that they find themselves in. You know, it shouldn't have been like that. It shouldn't have been like, they should have been the last, they should have sat there to the last minute and a half to get it done. They went in, oh, we're the last ones, there's nobody else, our intel is telling us that there's nobody else out here, and then in walks, what's his name, Petty?
Yes.
And in walks Petty and signs up and takes away that little bit of advantage that they thought that they were going to have in a 10-person race. That's delightful. Let's talk about this other issue on the agenda, the bond issue.
Yeah, I think it's another example of being out of touch with the world, actually. The bond issue itself came from the administration is to reissue the air conditioning bonds.
To air condition our schools for our babies, right?
Yes. Yes. These bonds, you know, voters approved several years ago. The bonds were issued at a certain interest rate. So, mm-hmm. So we have the money and we're paying interest on it. And this was to essentially reissue the bonds because interest rates are lower. So you pay off the old higher interest rate bonds. You have these new bonds that you're paying less of an interest on.
So we're saving money for the district.
And the district estimated it would save, I have to look and check real quickly, here it is, save $2.3 million.
Save the district $2.3 million by reissuing bonds that the citizens voted for in order to put air conditioning in the schools that don't have air conditioning for our babies.
Yes.
Okay, that's what this was.
That's what this was.
All right.
Now, this failed on a tie vote. There was a 3 in favor, 3 against, and 1 abstention. The 1 abstention was Flint Fowler because the bond underwriter is A.G. Edwards, and there's an executive A.G. Edwards on his board of directors.
Okay.
So he abstained.
Fair enough.
So the issue, but why would anybody vote against saving money? The argument expressed by Bob Archibald and then agreed to by the other two voted against. The three votes against it were Bob Archibald, Ron Jackson, and Veronica O'Brien.
Again, this is saving the district over $2 million.
Yes, yes.
Saving the district over $2 million. It's really a kind of just a fiscally responsible thing for a district to do. Oh, look, interest rates are down. Let's reissue these bonds and save us some money on what we have to pay on these on this interest.
Right. But I want to remind your listeners that last month when Flint Fowler was absent, there was a proposal to save the district, a different proposal, you know, but a different way to save the district $7 million. That failed when the same three, Archibald, Jackson, and O'Brien, voted against it. So there's in recent months, this consistent pattern of voting against things that save the district money, and Archibald is he said last month, he has said previously in voting against these things that he's against them because they take us off the main issue, which to him is closing schools. He says we need to close schools. Clearly, if we can find other ways of saving money, a lot of parents want the schools in their neighborhoods, right? So I'm sure parents would prefer we find other ways to save money than closing schools.
Now explain that what Bob Archibald said out of his mouth as another reason why he was not going to.
Yeah, last night on the bond thing, he raised the question of whether the underwriter, which is the company that would oversee issuing the bonds, whether we bid that out to get proposals from different companies. And we didn't. And so his argument was, well, we should bid it out, get the best proposal we can. The problem here, as the treasurer, Enos Moss, explained to him, when the air conditioning bonds were issued several years ago, the contract that the board approved with the underwriter then.
Who was the in charge of the board then?
This was when Cleveland Hammonds was superintendent.
Okay.
The contract with the underwriter. And he said these are standard kind of contracts, but the contract, the underwriter said that if we ever decide to refinance these bonds, you have the right to do it. So this contract with A.G. Edwards says if we ever decide to refinance it, A.G. Edwards has the right to issue the new bonds.
So in other words, okay, the company that's doing the underwriting saying, okay, look, yeah, y'all can save some money by reissuing these bonds, but we don't want to get cut out of the deal because you all decided to reissue it. So our deal with you is that our contract with you is that, okay, we're not going to kick a fuss if you decide to reissue the bonds, but you can't get rid of us. We stay with it.
That's right.
And so that's standard.
Yes.
That is not something unusual. That is not some sweetheart deal that A.G. Edwards wrote for themselves. That's standard.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the explanation given there.
Okay. And then that was the contract that was signed.
That's the contract that was signed.
So you cannot go out and rebid this. You can't do that because you are contractually bound to staying with these same people.
Well, that's where we get into the out-of-touch portion is Archibald, the captain, says, well, just because the contract says –
huh?
That A.G. Edwards has the right to do this, that doesn't mean we can't ask somebody else to do it.
Huh? Just because the contract says that, huh? We don't, huh? And then I would have to ask the next question is, what is the fiscally supported reason why we would decide to do something like that? What have you done in researching this or investigating this that would suggest that we would consider breaking a contract and then being sued for breaking the contract and then incurring legal fees from the breaking of this contract? What have you done that would support that, that would suggest that it would be worth the financial cost of that if we could do that,
right?
If we would win on that?
Well, good question. So where it was essentially left was, essentially it goes to the lawyer to look at the contract to say whether or not the contract does say that A.G. Edwards has the right to do this.
Now, are we missing an opportunity? Could we possibly miss an opportunity? Could interest rates go up
and
cheat us out of some of the money that we're trying to save while we're tilting at windmills out here? Because Bob Archibald is running for office in order to be removed from office. I mean, could we possibly lose some of the money that we're trying to save?
Yeah, and that's possible. You know, nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. Interest rates could go up.
1-877-920-WGNU. David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I attended the board meeting last night. I am also a candidate for the school board. I'm second on the ballot. I was absolutely, one of the reasons that I'm running for the board is simply what happened last night, not only with the bond issue that was saving the district money, but also when they discontinued a program to improve the academic skills of the eighth graders that was working. These two candidates was totally against those two programs. Well, it was against the bond issue, and also it was against the program that was working for the eighth graders' academic improvements, simply because they don't care. It was clear cut that if they approved the bond refinance, that it was going to save the district quite a bit of money. It was quite clear that it was a contract that could not be broken. These two individuals seemed not to either understand, which was impossible for me to believe that they did not understand that this was a contractor obligation and it was saving the district money. They just didn't care.
I think that there's a third piece to this, David. I think the third piece is probably closer to closer to the reality of what is happening here. These are intentional acts designed to contribute to the constant drumbeat from the Post and other media outlets that this is a dysfunctional board. You have to, in order to show that you're dysfunctional, you have to have controversy and controversy that keeps things in disarray. And also, if you want to make certain that the district doesn't survive, you engage in behavior to make certain that the district dies. It's you don't want to save a district money that you're trying to topple.
I agree. I actually took my 11-year-old son to the board meeting tonight because he wanted to actually be there to see what happens, because he's been watching it on the news and he's been listening to me talking to folks about it. And now this my son is 11 years old, and he sat there and asked me about every vote that they made, and he was concerned that the same members of the board either abstain or voted no against progress of the district. And he didn't understand that. And it was kind of hard for me to explain it to him when I got home that...
Well, the problem is that he did understand it, because he knew it was wrong. He knew it was wrong. David got a roll. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Stay with us. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves. You know what? They have this wonderful, the new thing, the new design thing this year is appliance white. Sears has wonderful high-end refrigerators in white. They have wonderful high-end stoves and gas stoves, really, really, really cool ones. Look, get on down to Sears. Get your shop on. If you're redoing your house, if you're remodeling, or if you know somebody that is, get on down to Sears. Tell them I told you to.
Coming up on this evening's Sloan Ranger Show, in the 6 p.m. hour, Lloyd asks, can the moon save the Earth? With his guest, Greg Maraniak, from the St. Louis Science Center and the McDonald Planetarium. That's Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, 5 till 7 tonight on AM 920 WGNU.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontrell Busby calling you from LeClee School, Zachy Gray Room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Ruth. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurate. And Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Rise Supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. And I have to do another shout-out again about this forum that I'm going to be part of on Saturday. There's a forum that's going to take place at the new Sunnymount Missionary Baptist Church right there on West Florissant. And it's a forum on education. It's a forum on education, and we're going to be there talking about my topic is going to be an onslaught attack on public education, contrived or necessary. Panelists will include Bert Schulte, the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, John Moulton, St. Louis Black Leadership Roundtable. Bornita Knute is going to be the moderator. She's from Channel 2. You know her from Channel 2. She's the news anchor there. And also Ron Jackson is supposed to be there, and I'm going to be there. Please come on out. It's from 1 o'clock to 2:30 on Saturday. It's a very important discussion on this issue of education, and it's going to be at the new Sunnymount Missionary Baptist Church at 4700 West Florissant. That's the corner of West Florissant and Shreve. If you have any questions, please call 374-5045. That's 374-5045. This is a panel on education, pertinent issues affecting public education. And also I forgot, Senator Rita Days is going to be on the panel as well. You don't want to miss it. This Saturday at 1 o'clock to 2:30. Any questions or concerns about it, give them a call at 374-5045. 374-5045 is going to be at New Sunnymount Missionary Baptist Church, 4700 West Florissant. And Peter, let's go to Jefferson City.
All right.
Jefferson City last week, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people went up to Jefferson City on Thursday, right?
Yes.
Thursday of last week. Talk to us about some of the things that we didn't hear about in from the St. Louis Post, because of the headline in the Post the next day was, it's a done deal, that the takeover is a done deal. Huh?
Yeah, that's I just want to say, even Veronica O'Brien yesterday at the school board meeting, her report on Jeff City didn't express that she heard it that way, and she wants a takeover. Mm. But Jeff City, there's a lot. One, they didn't tell us about, as you said, the hundreds of people who went up there.
Well, the Post didn't mention any numbers at all. They said some people went up there.
Right. Right. They didn't mention that the meeting was moved from the normal school board meeting room to a larger meeting room in the governor's office building, and that room was packed. The board itself, all we heard from on the board was Commissioner Kent King and the president, Peter Hershend, I think his name
is. Who's a right-wing Republican that believes in vouchers
he's the Silver Dollar City guy.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he believes in vouchers.
He believes in vouchers.
Right.
He's been connected with that and promoting vouchers. We didn't hear from most of the other board members. Only one other board member we heard from, and that was the new guy, mm-hmm. Reverend Archer.
Archer. Mm-hmm.
His name is, and he questioned some of the presentation that King made. He expressed that he had a concern with depriving voters of the right to vote. He said that straight out, that that's a concern of his. He asked what, since King made a big deal about how the board in St. Louis, school board in St. Louis is operating, Archer asked, well, has he been advising the board on what it should do? What advice? And King really danced around that, because the reality is he hasn't. He hasn't said a darn thing to the board.
But then I guess that's almost like sucker punching somebody. You know, if you have this heavy hammer that you are going to hit somebody with, and you have tools and resources to help prevent that person from doing it, and you go ahead and hit him anyway, it's really unfair.
Yes. Yes, and I think that's the point Archer's getting to. It's just, before we do this drastic thing, the nuclear option on St. Louis Public Schools, what have you done to help along before that?
Mm-hmm.
Those were two concerns that Archer raised. I said the other board members didn't say anything during the meeting. There was one of the parents who went up there, talked to me afterwards, went and spoke with another board member, the other male board member. I think someone said he's from Columbia, Missouri, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure of that myself. Who said, again, privately, said, oh, well, St. Louis schools are terrible. We have to do something. None of the students there ever score above 14 on the ACT. And that's just not true.
We met
the state standard for ACT because we have, I don't know what the percentage is, 15-20% of our students scoring above the national average, which is 22.
But also, it's just mind-boggling to see people even consider that to be a possibility. How could there be an entire district with 30,000 children in it, okay, thousands of those taking the ACT?
Yes.
and none of them? I mean, that's illogical. That's ridiculous. Or that is a clear understanding that's based upon other factors that, okay, how can I believe something like that? Well, if I think that they're all black kids, or if I think that they're all poor, I'm going to think the worst possible thing. That's crazy. That's illogical for you to even say that not one, you don't believe that one student out of the city of St. Louis that takes those tests scored above the state standard? Come on. That's crazy.
It is crazy. And I think it's just it reflects other prejudices.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Is what it does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. But it also... it says to me that there's an opportunity here for a re-education of people, because that's a specific that can easily be demonstrated that's wrong.
Well, and that's my concern there, okay? We had the district, Ken King did question two sets of data from the district. And one of them he knows better than to question, all right, because he knows the reality. Mm. Or he should. He says he's been involved with the district for 11 years, so he should know the reality. The district has, you know, they presented data to the state board that African-American students in our magnet schools outperform African-American students in the county.
Yes, they do.
Now, this is the data from DESE. They're the ones who grade the MAP test. The district doesn't grade the MAP test. Mm-hmm. DESE does, and they present this data, and we just show them the data. And that's not new. You know, the administration, they went back 5 years showing that it's always been true. But I remember back when Cleveland Hammonds was superintendent, and the district was saying the same thing. This is not new data. And yet you had this little stage play between Peter Hirschen and Kent King saying, oh, my gosh, that's astounding. I've never heard that. How did that's a big change in just 6 months. Well, no, I mean, there hasn't been a MAP test in 6 months, so it didn't occur within 6 months.
Number one.
Secondly, it's not new, and King should be familiar with it if he has paid any attention to St. Louis Public Schools, and he says he's been involved with them for 11 years.
And if you also say that, I'm concerned about this achievement gap, okay, well, apparently the St. Louis Public Schools have a solution to that. Apparently the St. Louis Public Schools have the solution in the magnet school, so why don't we do what we're doing there? We have an answer.
Expand that to all the schools.
That's the solution.
That's the solution.
We have the solution. They don't do better when they go out in the county. We spent all that money to ship them out of the county. The data was, you keep them in the school, St. Louis Public Schools, you keep them in magnet schools, they do really good.
That's right.
They do really good.
But like often when you want to knock down somebody's argument, you rephrase it in terms that aren't true.
Right.
And so King rephrased it as saying that African-American students throughout the school district do better than African-American students in the county.
Which is not true.
I mean, we never said that. Mm-hmm. But that's what he's saying the district was saying. And it's not true. The district said African-American students in magnet schools. Because as you just pointed out, that shows us what's working
there
and what we need to extend throughout the district.
There you go.
So again, they had this little stage play.
And let me get to a caller quick, because a number of people have been waiting. Katie.
Hi.
Quickly, please.
I have a question about what happened with Veronica O'Brien, because I think that when she was first elected on the board, she was kind of wishy-washy, and then she seemed like she was going to take a stand in favor of the people and vote with them, and then she became president, and she's the one who selected this superintendent. What happened?
She didn't get her way. She didn't get her way. And so now she's going to tear the whole thing down because she didn't get her way.
Her way doing what?
Her way doing appointments, the example of she wants to have the same authority that the superintendent has. She wants to be able to set people's salary, go out of the community and say, I can get you this $180,000 job. It's only me that can do that. I can deliver that to you. Understand that there is a political, I suspect that there is a political strategy out there. That's what people are saying, that there's a political strategy. She has ambitions beyond the St. Louis School Board. She wants to be mayor of the city of St. Louis. She wants to run for higher office.
My next question is she in cahoots with the mayor now?
No, she's never been in cahoots with the mayor, because the mayor didn't give her what she wanted either. The mayor didn't let her have her way either. So it's strategical right now to be with them, because that means that she can, in her mind, that she can get rid of Borisov if she's with them.
Doesn't she look like she's having a nervous breakdown right in the public's eye?
Plenty of people have said that. Your observation has been repeated by many, 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 many people out there, Katie. Mm. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
executive. I'm sorry we couldn't get to everybody else. But, Peter, this meeting that we had up in Jefferson City, the result of it was a win for us, right?
Yes, the result is the state did not take action in January.
And that's a big deal because they had been working towards being able to do this for a number of months now.
They've been working towards it since May. And, recall some reporting. The Post-Dispatch in December was saying it's a done deal. This decision is going to be made in January.
And it didn't happen. So it's a big win for all of us that support St. Louis Public Schools and support what this superintendent is doing and have a plan for. In fact, the superintendent has put out a plan.
Yes, a comprehensive school improvement plan. First one that meets state requirements in 4 years.
Mm.
And we had a work session going over that last night, and I'm sure there will be more.
Very good. Listen, Peter, I want to thank you. We'll go over this in more detail next week. I'm sure there'll be something else that happens.
Yeah, people showing it was a win last week, but there are more of these battles coming up.
Absolutely.
It's not over.
That's right, and there's an election coming up in April.
Yes.
All right, Peter Downs, thank you so much for joining me. I'll be back, folks, to talk about these crazy parties that parents are throwing for their children. $10 million for a 13-year-old birthday party. Oh, we need to talk. Stay with me.
More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Is it cold enough for you? It's 19 degrees at this hour in New York City, about the same in Philadelphia, a little warmer in Washington, D.C. It's part of that big winter system that's put most of the nation into the deep freeze. ABC Sam Champion says it's really causing problems south of the border.
We have ice warnings, winter storm watches and warnings all the way through the deep south. We'll start particularly with Texas. This does spread east across the Gulf Coast over the next 24 hours.
Suffice it to say, driving isn't much fun.
You probably know what it's like driving on ice, or trying to. In Oregon, roads are super slick, and some drivers, maybe, forgot you turn into the skid, like this one who smacked into a light pole. But the roads are so icy, you don't even have to be moving to lose it. Two semis, a pickup between them, all stopped. One of the big rigs starts to slide, sideways, and a pickup sandwich.
Stop because of traffic, Nelson. I went sideways and I hit the side of this guy's truck.
No one, thankfully, was hurt. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The House could vote today on a measure that could make college or at least borrowing to pay for it less expensive.
California Congresswoman Diane Watson calls the need to reduce the cost of student loans urgent.
The cost of attending college continues to skyrocket, putting college out of reach for more and more students.
The Democrats' proposal has been scaled back considerably to limit the cost. It would now apply only to some undergraduate student loans. The reduction in interest rates would be in steps to 3.4% by 2011, but it would snap back in 2012 to 6.8% unless Congress extends it. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
President Bush today will talk to Republican lawmakers who have said publicly they do not agree with his plan to send more troops into Iraq. In the meantime, two more U.S. soldiers have been killed in Iraq, both in the Al Anbar province. This is ABC News.
Sam's Club has everything you need for your next football party. From Tostitos to Little Smokies to furniture taken straight from John Elway's house.
You mean my furniture line?
Yes, they'll be lining up at Sam's Club for party items like Pace Junkie's salsa and John Elway's couch.
Not my sofa, my casual living collection.
Well, I can't cancel the movers now.
Yeah? How about I cancel your face?
Sam's Club, when only the greatest party of all time will do. 10% service fee applies to non-member purchases. Elway furniture available at samsclub.com.
I'm Mark Goldston, Chairman and CEO of Net Zero. We started Net Zero 8 years ago to provide the best access at the best price. The Internet's changed a lot since then, and Net Zero's changed with it. We added Norton antivirus, pop-up blockers, and the fastest surfing available over dial-up. And it all downloads in just 2 minutes. We pride ourselves in providing quality Internet access with prices starting at $9.95 a month. Plus, if you're not satisfied within the first 30 days, we'll give you your money back. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com.
You're hired for the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Guess who's gotten the newest star? Yep, Donald Trump. Here's ABC's Deirdre Bryant.
The 60-year-old producer and host of The Apprentice now has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Jay Leno and Larry King were among those joining the billionaire and his family for the unveiling. Trump held his 9-month-old son, Barron, who was sporting a similar hairstyle to his. Trump said his son is smart, vicious, and violent. Good qualities for an entrepreneur. Trump was asked about the feud with Rosie and said he's finished with it. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
Now, the gizmo is supposed to let you go through airport security without taking off your shoes. You even are supposed to pay a fee and pass a pre-screening test to use it. But most travelers who walk through the shoe scanner at Orlando International in Florida this week had to hoof it through barefoot anyway. Seems the scanner found metal in their shoes might just be the nails that I used to make them. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's this hour's WGNU News update. I'm Peyton Colston. In Madison County, a man who tried to drive through about 2 feet of water that had overflowed onto the roadway from nearby Silver Creek was stranded atop his Chevrolet Blazer for 45 minutes Monday. Mark Schlimmer was driving off Lebanon Road when he was swept about 20 feet down a slope a little after 6 o'clock Monday morning. Schlimmer lives a quarter mile from where he was stranded. He climbed onto the roof of his Blazer and called for help on his cell phone. Troy firefighters were able to help Schlimmer into the bucket of a 75-foot fire truck ladder. He was not hurt in the incident. In West Frankfort, Illinois, neighbors are speculating that a mother and her adult son found dead in their home earlier this month might have starved to death. Neighbors say Mary and Mickey Turner vowed silence and fasted as part of their religion. Franklin County, Illinois coroner says it might be 3 or 4 months before the cause of death is known for certain, but police have ruled out foul play. Mary Turner's daughter was taken to the hospital in the incident, but has since been released. And finally, at this hour, Peabody Energy's coal trade subsidiary is named David A. James as Director of Trading. James will be responsible for coal trading strategies, coordinating the corporate emissions allowance position, and developing structured transaction. He'll be based in Peabody's St. Louis office. He spent more than 17 years with Ameren, including the last 7 years in coal procurement and trading in the Ameren Fuels and Services Department. He holds degrees from Illinois State University and Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. Peabody serves more than 300 customers in 16 countries. It's the world's largest private sector coal company. I'm Peyton Colston, and that's this hour's update of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your weather and your traffic. Northbound 270 Clayton and McKelvey. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident cleared at McKelvey. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Manchester. You've got stop-and-go traffic. Southbound 270 St. Charles Rock Road through Dorset. Look for delays there as well. Northbound Route 3 onto the PSB. That ramp is slow. Eastbound 44 from Daimler through 270. Look for delays. Basically in the right lane. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Mid Rivers Mall. You've got some slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant. Look for no problems there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason and Ballas and McKnight. You can expect slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is rolling well into Laclede's Landing. 5570 westbound from 4th onto the PSB. You can expect some delays. And westbound 64 at 10th Street. Look for some delays there as well. Also, 70 westbound at 270 and Earth City Expressway. There's an accident basically at Earth City Expressway. There's a second accident on the exit ramp to southbound, so just use caution. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's roll into your weather. This hour's weather looks like this. Partly cloudy with a high around 30 today. Partly cloudy, not quite as cold with a low around the mid-20s this evening. Moving into Thursday, mostly cloudy in the afternoon, partly cloudy through the day with a high in the mid-30s. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high around 50, or high around 30, excuse me. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, more with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. My goodness gracious, we have all kinds of issues to talk about. As you know, every Wednesday we have a discussion with the it's entitled The St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We talk about our babies, our children, the issues that are confronting them, and the issues that you all need to know about making certain that your kids are receiving what they should be receiving in the public schools. And I want to continue that conversation about children this hour. I am reading some amazing things. I have been part of some amazing things with the birthday parties, the things that parents are doing for their kids on their birthdays. And I have to say, when I was growing up, and I always hated it as a child when I heard an adult say, when I was growing up, because you knew no good would come out of that conversation. No good would come out of that conversation. But I'm inclined to begin with that. There weren't as many things to buy. Okay, there just weren't as many things to buy. I was the only girl, middle child, and I had a lot of demands. And they did their best to meet my demands as the only girl. But even though they spent what they spent, there's still iPods didn't exist. Telephones didn't exist. Cell phones didn't exist for children. CDs didn't exist. We had records. I mean, there weren't that many things to buy. We live in a society right now that there are, if there were no commercials during Saturday morning television to tell us that these were the things that we wanted. God help me if I had had as many commercials as the babies had today of the things that they want. There is a pressure that exists out in this society, and don't forget our economy is dependent upon how much money we spend out there. So there's a reason for this constant pressure that goes beyond retail desires and retail bottom line. We need to talk about the consequences of this kinds of pressure and how it is reflected in children's birthday parties. We're going to have a conversation today about out-of-control children's birthdays, birthday parties, and a new concept, birthdays without pressure. Join me after this.
ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Direct from Broadway, the winner of six 2005 Tony Awards, The Light in the Piazza is the romantic new musical that transports you to 1950s Florence, Italy. You can almost feel the warmth of the Tuscan sun. As if by fate, a sudden gust of wind blows the hat from a beautiful young American woman into the grasp of a handsome young Italian. And so it begins. Broadway's ultimate love story, filled with passion, tenderness, and romance. The Light in the Piazza. The critics have hailed it a must-see, with the most romantic score of any Broadway musical since West Side Story. Don't miss The Light in the Piazza, coming to the Fox Theater for 2 weeks only, January 30th through February 11th in the U.S. Bank Broadway series, and sponsored by American Airlines. For tickets, call 314-534-1111 or order online at metrotix.com. It won the critics. It won the Tonys. Now, let it win your heart.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Bill Brown.
Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming. But I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We have much, much, much to talk about. Are children's birthday parties careening out of control? Well, we're going to be talking to Bill Daugherty. He's a professor at the University of Minnesota. He's involved in a Birthdays Without Pressure project. Bill, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Very good. Are children's birthday parties careening out of control? I'm a lawyer. What's the proof of that? What's the proof of
there
that?
There you go. Well, we've been talking to a lot of parents locally and now around the country who are feeling pressure from the local community and from the media. You talked about the advertising to do more than they feel they can afford or that they're even comfortable with their values. And so we've this is a little informal group of parents called Birthdays Without Pressure, with the website birthdayswithoutpressure.org, who are calling attention to what we think is the overindulgence that's happening, and mostly to get a message out that it's okay to simplify and have a nice, warm, low cost, low key birthday party without feeling like you're cheating your child.
Well, and I'm going to read you a quote that is attributed to you. We're raising overindulgent children who then feel entitled to more and more and bigger and bigger. Overindulgent children. What's the evidence of that?
Well, there are a lot of professionals. There are a lot of parents who are looking around, and I mean, I just talked to somebody recently who the 5-year-old is asking for specific presents from her relatives, like an American doll that cost $100, and asking her aunt specifically for that present. That's an example of the kind of entitlement that we think we can breed into our children.
And give us some of the other examples of I don't know what gluttonous birthday parties. Talk to us about some of these that have given rise to your concern.
Well, it's not uncommon, even in areas that are not wealthy, for parents to hire stretch limos to pick 7-year-olds up for birthday parties.
Oh, stop it. Absolutely.
This is in Wyoming, a little town called Wyoming, Minnesota, a suburb of Forest Lake, Minnesota. 2 7-year-olds this year were picked up in stretch limos.
In a working-class
neighborhood in Boston where I have a friend, I couldn't believe it. His 9-year-old was picked up by a stretch limo.
Okay, I was talking about this to someone just a few minutes ago. Tell us about this $10 million birthday party.
Well, that's a documented one. That's a wealthy New York father businessman spent an estimated $10 million on his 13-year-old daughter's birthday party. Aerosmith, the band, played. And the gift bags were an estimated $1,000 that the kids took home.
I'm looking at it's saying $10,000 gift bag.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's $1,000.
Okay, it's $1,000 gift bag.
Yeah.
But, first of all, 50 Cent appeared at your 13-year-old daughter's party.
Well, and if you've seen the MTV My Super Sweet 16 program that's on every week.
I have seen that.
Yeah.
I have seen that. And, Bill, that is such a disturbing show.
Yeah.
It is really, if people don't have access to cable, ask your friends to record it, because it's shocking to see. It goes back to what you were talking about, overindulgent and just the demands that come out of kids' mouths.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we have kids. I mean, one of our stories here is, you know, but these party bags or goodie bags the kids, you know, go home with that cost $10 a piece. A 6-year-old was disappointed that the mother decided not to have these party bags, and he said, "This is a ripoff."
Wait a minute. Okay, first of all, saying that about anything to the parent is an amazing thing.
Right.
But he was saying that
he said,
about
the gift bag. Where's the party bag, the goodie bag? You know, that he's supposed to go home with. And the mother said, "Well, we're not doing those in our family." And he said, "Quote: This is a ripoff."
So he was a guest.
He
was a guest at a party. One, he was a guest at a party.
Right.
Two, he was speaking to an adult.
That's right.
And three, he said, "It's a ripoff because I didn't get mine."
That's right. And the birthday party boy burst into tears at that point.
Humiliated, no doubt.
He was humiliated.
Because he didn't have a give back.
Right. And so this is why we've started this group and this website, birthdayswithoutpressure.org, to create this a conversation about the idea that you're not weird if you want to simplify.
Where did you kind of get the first inkling of it? Is it those Chuck E. Cheese's party? Where did it start?
You know, back in the 80s, the outsourcing of birthday parties started. You know, it was really quite innocent. You went to McDonald's or Chuck E. Cheese, and you didn't have to clean your house and blah, blah, blah. And then it just goes up and up and up. So now, you know, here in Minneapolis at Waterworld at the Mall of America, you know, you can rent out the part of Waterworld. And then the next step up is you rent a hotel room for the kids. So you're spending, you know, $800 or $900, and even the people who are running these programs, these things, are shaking their heads.
And I guess the next question, or a question to ask, Bill, is if you spend $800 on a birthday party for a 7-year-old, where do you go from there?
Well, that's my biggest concern. What's the trajectory? You know, then you get to my super sweet 16. And the kids get to feel entitled to this. So I know 8-year-olds who are planning their next three events. Next one will be horses, and after that will be Water World. They're not asking. They're not saying, Mommy, Daddy, please, please, please. They are laying out their expectations.
And that's one of the things that I found remarkable about watching that program, that's My Super Sweet 16 on MTV, is how the parents responded to the children. The children are actually demanding this,
yes,
and the parents are feeling pressured pressured into doing this.
That's right. Now, you know, can I really be rude now, because I have to leave? I have to get off the air?
Okay.
Okay. You're one of the better people I've ever talked to on this, so I hate to do it, but I have another commitment.
Okay, well, tell you what, you need to give out your address, your website.
Yes, so birthdayswithoutpressure.org.
Very good.
And I really appreciate the time with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And, you know, one of the things that I was looking at as we were discussing this particular issue is the quiz that they have for parents, that if you are to assess whether or not you are one of these parents. And so let me throw out some of these questions for you. If you take this quiz and you can decide whether or not, and if your answer is yes to these, you are one of these parents that are under way too much pressure for a birthday party for their child. One, I spend too much money. Yes or no? Two, we have too many guests for comfort. Three, my child gets too many presents. Four, gift bags are a pain. Five, I spend too much shopping time for each birthday party. Four, our birthdays are too long. Five, I feel inadequate to the task. Six, I worry about whether it will be a good party. Seven, I worry about whether my child will like my party. Five, I feel unappreciated for the effort I put into the party. Six, I feel badly when my child does not like something about the party. Let's talk about that one for a minute. Let's talk about, you know what, little Rugrats should be completely happy with any gift that their parent decides to give them, because you know what? It is not the law that says that a parent has to give a child any gift about anything. Now, I know you're going to want to give your babies all the stuff that you can afford, but the fact of the matter is they should not feel entitled to it. That's just where I'm rolling from. Yes, you're on the wake-up call.
Miss Liz?
Yes.
I was listening at your call. Good morning first.
Good morning.
And I was listening. I said, I have a baby. She's 16. I mean, she's 14 now. And I gave her a birthday party. I don't give a birthday party. I text my baby. I make her a cake.
Mm-hmm.
I put my babies out in the backyard. I put up a table. You invite your little friend. If they want to bring you a 15 or 20 cent gift, good. If they want to bring you a car, good. I'm not going to a hotel. I'm not going to all that, spending all that money. If Granny go by the store and she see a dress that she'd like you to have, she'll buy it. Now, if you can't accept that, you have to wait till you get old enough to get what you want.
And how does your granddaughter respond to that?
She responds good.
And I imagine...
And then her and I go eat ice cream and eat hamburgers together.
Okay, and I imagine, though, this isn't something that you just sprung on her at her 16th or 15th birthday party. You've been raising her that whole way the entire time.
All the time.
You know, and isn't it isn't that the lesson, Ms. Johnson? Isn't that the lesson that you have to start from the very beginning?
Yes,
of,
ma'am.
Tell me what you think about this theory, that parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends, they don't raise children for themselves. They raise children for the world.
They raise them to get killed. That's
uh-huh.
what they raises them for.
Right.
Because if they cannot get what they want, they try another way.
All right.
And with me, I tell mine that you can't accept what great granny gives you, your mom gone, she's dead. But if you can't accept what great granny gives you, she's sorry, you have to wait till you get grown.
And buy it yourself.
And get it yourself.
Buy it yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that's a child that's going to contribute positively to the world that we live in. We need to understand that we're not raising them for ourselves. We're raising them for the world. What kind of friend is she going to be if you've raised your child to have these types of expectations? Because they're not going to stop with the expectation of you. They're going to have that expectation of entitlement for everybody that they come in contact with. My name is Liz Brown. I want to get to you all. Please stay with me. Please stay with me. I think that this is a very important conversation. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 28 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather. Westbound or northbound 270 between Ledoux and, I'm sorry, westbound, northbound 270 between 64 and McKelvey. Look for stop and go traffic due to an accident. The right lane is blocked. That's that McKelvey truck is on the scene at this hour. Eastbound 44 Bowles 270. You can expect stop and go traffic because of the delays. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Manchester, you've got delays on either side of 44. Southbound 270 St. Charles Rock Road in Dorset, look for stop and go traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan or Earth City Expressway through 270, look for slow traffic there. Traffic starting to ease at Highway 40 eastbound Lindbergh through McKnight. Northbound Route 3, that ramp is looking better onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is rolling well into the landing. Westbound 70 from 270 through Earth City Expressway, that accident's been cleared and starting to ease up there. Westbound 5570 at the PSB is on the move. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road looks good. And eastbound 70 from K through Mid Rivers Mall is on the move as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Partly cloudy day, high in the 30s. For this evening, partly cloudy, not quite as cold, low in the mid-20s. Thursday, mostly cloudy in the afternoon, partly cloudy overnight, with a low in the upper, or high in the mid-30s. And on Friday, partly cloudy with a high around 30 as well. Currently, we have 21 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's riveting talk radio, the way Liz likes it the best. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Coming up on this evening's Sloan Ranger Show, in the 6 p.m. hour, Lloyd asks, can the moon save the Earth? With his guest, Greg Mariniak, from the St. Louis Science Center and the McDonald Planetarium. That's Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, 5 till 7 tonight on AM 920 WGNU.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been, made me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back, looking back. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back, looking back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get up, get up. We're talking about birthdays without pressure. We're talking about the extraordinary things that parents go through to do birthday parties for their child. An evaluation that you can take yourself through. Is there too much, if there is, too much crying, too much whining, too much melting down, too much reprehending, too much hyperactivity? Maybe you've gone too far with this birthday party. Your child gets too many presents after a birthday party. There's only so many presents that a child can needs. and should have. Do you have to have a room for all of the toys that your child has? You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Roz, good morning.
Listen, my daughter was sitting there looking at that show on television last week.
The show that you're talking... Wait a minute.
Right.
Wait a minute. Let the audience know what we're talking about. We're talking about the show on MTV, mm-hmm. My Fabulous Sweet 16 Party.
My Fabulous Sweet 16. That's the first time I ever seen it in my life because I don't look at TV that often. And she came running back there and said, Mommy, you going to give me a hotel party? I said, let me tell you something. I'd like for you to catch your grades up. I said, if your grades not caught up, I won't do anything. And if I do anything, I'm going to do like I've been doing, and it's take you to the store and buy you a nice pair of blue jeans, pair of shoes. So you ain't getting no hotel party. I say, now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to eat healthy. And get plenty of exercise, so when you turn 116, you can get your own party.
There you go.
Okay, Lee.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. Some of these are things that are happening all across the country. A 5-year-old. When children get to be 5, the birthday parties get just crazy. I mean, a 1-year-old birthday party in Minnesota had 60 guests. The gift opening took 2 hours, and of course the child slept through it. Who's that party for? What does that party do? A stretch limo picking up 7-year-olds for a birthday party? And these aren't in wealthy communities. These are in working class communities. If you pick a 7-year-old up for a birthday party in a limousine, what's going to be picking them up at 16? What's going to be picking them up at 16 here on the wake-up call? Good morning.
How about a helicopter?
Okay. Okay.
Liz, this is great that you're talking about this. One of the things that I would like to add, especially for our parents out there with 12, 13, 14-year-olds that go to these birthday parties and stuff, I think parents need to be mindful that it's their responsibility to know what's going on at these parties, who's going to be there, because sometimes these kids will have a party and there don't even be a chaperone.
Mm.
You know, so if you can't talk, it's the parents' responsibility to talk to the parents
that's
hosting the party.
Absolutely.
It's the parents' responsibility to have the ability to go by and stop in and check on and spend some time and see what's going on at the party.
Absolutely.
I've got paid up to $350 one time to DJ at one of these parties. And mind you, I do have some rap music, but none of the rap music I have has profanity in it. This young lady, and she couldn't have been no more than 11 or 12, brought up a CD that I didn't have, and I specifically asked her, does it have any profanity in it? She said, no. Lo and behold, I put it on. The first 5 words come out of the cuss, so I turned it off. She went and got the lady, and the lady that was chaperoning the party insisted that I said, I can't do that, ma'am. I refuse to do that. It's amazing that what some of these parents will allow the children to convince them to do and to convince them that certain things are acceptable. Parents have to take that stand.
I absolutely agree that you can't be scared to not be liked by your kids. And I think that you probably asked the wrong question, Prince, when you asked, is there any profanity in it? Because maybe she didn't think that those words were profane.
Well, exactly.
You know, I mean, you should have been more specific with the question.
Exactly.
Because to her, that's not cussing.
Well,
it's not cussing when it's in a song.
Another thing, parents have to understand that you are letting your children, you are becoming a failure to your child if you do not question and investigate their actions, their whereabouts, and their behaviors. And you need to not just talk to the parents. No, get a feel for them. Know what's going on, because what's going on in other people's house may not be acceptable in your house.
Absolutely. And it's a full-time gig. I mean, it's a absolute full-time gig. And the other piece of it is that things are so different than when you and I were growing up.
Yes.
Simply because kids have more access to ways of keeping their parents out of their world than they've ever had before. I mean, I was laughing and talking with some guys the other at the blanket drive, actually. We were all laughing and talking about how different our lives would have been if we had had cell phones, okay? Because my mama and daddy knew who I was on the phone with because a cord only went so far. Okay, you could be on the phone surreptitiously with a phone that had a cord on it. And they could cut our phones off easily, not have access to phones. These kids can text message. You could be sitting there and your parents can be lecturing you, and you could be getting text messages from your friends and your parents wouldn't even know it.
And not only that, Liz, but I tell you something worse than that. Some of these parents, for whatever reason, not familiar with computers, go to the library and learn how to
check
and see what they're doing on these computers.
Lord, yes, because there are things that parents can do. Parents can find out, have tracking devices and find...
And there's a history.
Yes,
they can follow them if they want to.
And they also can have timers. They can also... You can actually have email notices sent to you as a parent.
If certain words
not only if certain words are saying, when they get on a computer, if they go to a certain place, you can have access to reading what... all their text messages are. You can get, there are programs that allow you to get, every time that your child gets a text message, you can be text messaged too.
And I'm going to say this in closing, Liz. All of what you said is true, but here's the punchline. All that information is free and available at the public library.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And so you cannot say that I can't afford to do that because
it's free available at the public library.
And if you can't afford it, then your child has a computer at home and they have internet access, then you can afford this because that's your responsibility. It's daunting, I understand, but understand that the possible dangers that have your child could be having a conversation with your 12-year-old daughter,
a killer,
a sexual molester, a 47-year-old man posing as a 15-year-old boy. I mean, we see it on TV all the time.
Are
you have a responsibility.
Absolutely.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, yes.
Hi, listen, I wanted to call and just comment about the birthday party. We did that birthday party thing from 1 to 14 years of age. And then after that, my daughters, her friends, they started planning birthday parties for each other. And they came up with some very clever ideas. I think the cutest one I like was they surprised her. She walked in the door. They made her dress up real crazy in a boa, a paper crown. And then they went on a scavenger hunt through, you know, schnooks and all over the neighborhood. And then they came back and they celebrated. But the girls, you know, left to their own devices, they began to come up with some really creative ideas that were inexpensive.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, I thought that was cute.
That is so lovely. And it's what you said, it is creative.
Right.
It is thoughtful. It is a present that is really bears in mind the person that they're doing the present for.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's a true celebration. And it is truly a memory maker because you're not going to remember all of the dolls that you got if you get $15 every birthday party.
Exactly.
But
she's
going to remember that for the rest of her life.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you so much. She's going to remember that for the rest of her life. And here's some other ideas that you can consider in doing when you're thinking about these birthday parties. Gift-free parties. With an invitation that when you send an invitation out saying, okay, if you bring a gift, I'm going to take it to some kids that don't get any gifts. And so, or you can have a birthday party with that in mind. Bring a present and we're going to give these gifts to people, to children that don't have any gifts. How about bring a gift to share with somebody? How about, it's so funny that the caller just called about a treasure hunt. I mean, about a scavenger hunt. One of the suggestions here is a treasure hunt. How about family-only birthday parties? No gift bags. Reducing the number of guests. How about a birthday party? Try this one on. A birthday party without a theme. doing community service, and letting the child weigh in on this. Homemade gifts. For every gift in, there's a gift that's given away. How about the child personally makes a cake for class with a focus on giving? Giving birthday money to a charity selected with the child. One of the things that I'm saying is that this is a process. It's not a microwave thing. It's not an instant thing. You got to be doing this from day one. This is not to say that you can't stop when you all of a sudden you've realized, oh my God, I've gotten out of control. I have a limo ride for my 5-year-old. My 5-year-old can't even spell car. But I have a limo ride for her or him. You got to analyze your own self and ask yourself why you're doing this. And then you got to ask yourself, what is your child getting out of this? Are they getting memories that last them a lifetime about a mommy that loved them and a daddy that loved them? Or are they getting a message that any dang thing that I ask for, I'm going to get because I'm entitled to that? 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about George Bush and the F word. I'm talking about fascists. We're going to have that discussion when we come back in the 9 o'clock hour. Stay with me. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace, every single thing that you need. You know what? Get on over to Sears. They have wonderful high-end products, wonderful selection, and, oh my goodness, wonderful customer service. When you get your shop on, tell them I told you to.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy.
Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning, Alfred.
All right. Hey, I'm middle of the 60s. Okay, you got to, this is my opinion, you know. You got to adapt with the times. I was listening at your program. When I went to my junior and senior prom, we went on a bus. Kids won't do that today. They get a limousine. Even when some of your finer restaurants, you go to them, they don't have no color book anymore. They have a little video game for the kids to play with. So I don't see anything with sending a limousine to the kids and picking them up and taking them to the party.
At the age of seven, Alfred?
But look at these...
At the age of... My question is, the age of seven, do you think... I understand getting a limo or wanting and agreeing to as a parent for a limo for a prom. A seven-year-old with a limo to a birthday party?
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
When you were seven,
mm-hmm.
if a big limousine came to pick you up to take you to a birthday party, you would have been excited as you could be.
If an elephant came, I would have been excited. If any, that's children get excited. But that's why you have parents to say what is reasonable to give a seven-year-old and what is not reasonable to give a seven-year-old. If I had my way, Michael Jackson would have appeared in my house in an airplane to take me to a free concert just for Leah's. Okay, but that doesn't mean that my parents should spend $5 million to make sure that that happens. Because at seven, if that's what Liz asks for and Liz gets, understand what you're going to have to get for Liz at 14 and at 15. And why? Because Liz should have that? No, Liz should not have Michael Jackson at have my parents spending $5 million to have Michael Jackson at my birthday party when I'm 7 years old.
Well, you know, some people got so much money they don't know what to do with
it. And that's one of the interesting parts of this story, Alfred. Leaving out the fiscally the people with lots of money and irresponsibility with that. Let's just talk about regular middle class people. Should regular middle class people be overspending on birthday parties? Because what is the consequence of overspending on a seven-year-old's birthday party? Will the family have to spend more when the child turns 10? Of course they will, because they set the standard for that. And there are so many other things that money should be used for, and what does the child get out of it? What does a child learn that is indulged like that?
You know, you could turn that to Christmas. People overspend for their children on Christmas.
I think so, too. I think that that's true, too. Don't you think that... Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that a person can overspend on toys with their child? Do you think that there is such a thing as possibility of overspending?
I think it depends on their income.
Okay.
You can't go charge everything, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if that's just like if a millionaire, he might give his son and daughter a car or a Cadillac or something at age 16,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is that overspending for him, you know?
Well, of course it's not overspending for him because they can afford it. So
but
my
like
question.
But we might give our car, our child a used car, a real used car at 16.
Can you afford it? Can you? I mean, the question is, can
you afford
it?
Yeah, that's the big.
And also, it's more than, because there are some things that you can afford, but you're not going to give your child because that's not appropriate to give your child at this point in their life. If my child wants $600 boots, I could afford it, but I'm not giving my child no $600 boots because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's very true.
Okay, I'm not going to.
Same way with the tennis. A lot of people say, no, I'm not going to buy you those. Well, they're not in style now, them, you know, Michael Jordan tennis.
Oh, yes, they are. They're still out there,
I'm
Alfred.
I'm out of the touch.
Okay, yes, they are. They're still out there. And you can afford it, but I'm not going to spend $75 for Michael Jordan tennis shoes for an infant. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, I can afford to do that, but I'm not doing that.
Right.
That's
right.
Ridiculous. He doesn't even walk. You know, thanks for your call.
Okay, Alfred. Bye now.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And just one or two last thoughts on this whole topic of buying too much stuff for your children. People, parents, you need to resist the urge or resist the feeling and fight the feeling of feeling pressure to make your child, to quote, make your child, quote, happy by meeting community standards for parties. That's somebody else's standard. Make your child happy with that. And parents should resist the urge of feeling guilty if the party was below community standards that you don't even agree with. And you feel, and if you're feeling overwhelmed, overloaded with these, this too much stuff. Now, understand, when you get the stuff in your house, it has to go somewhere. You got to organize it. You got to clean it up. You got to manage it. All of us are feeling overwhelmed. Well, not all of us, but maybe most of us are feeling overwhelmed with, or too many of us are feeling overwhelmed with too much stuff anyway. I don't even want to go down in my basement. Too much stuff. And all of the energy that you spend in planning it, preparing it, hosting it. And then you have this last little piece. What if you have a child that's not even, that you feel regret as a parent or resentment because your child didn't say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was so wonderful. It was so wonderful. It was so wonderful. Or other people were not appreciative with the fact that you spent 15 hours in the kitchen making these extraordinary gift bags, chocolate iPacks, or iPods for folks. Spending all of your creativity coming up with this extraordinary menu and all of the effort and act, and nobody appreciates it. Why would you put yourself through that? They don't appreciate it because they expect it. That's when you lose appreciation, when you start doing things for people that expect you to do it for them. They don't appreciate it. They're entitled to it. One eight seven seven 920 WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. And just a heads up, on Saturday, I am going to be on a panel. The panel is all about education. The question is, pertinent issues affecting public education. The forum starts at 1 o'clock and it ends at 2:30. It is at the New Sunnymount Missionary Baptist Church at 4700, at New Sunnymount Missionary Baptist Church at 4700 West Florissant, corner of West Florissant and Shreve. Benita Cornute is going to be the moderator. She's the KTVI Channel 2 news anchor. Also, John Moten, the St. Louis Black Leadership Roundtable, is also going to be on the panel. Bert Schulte, the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Senator Rita Days will also be on this panel. Ron Jackson, who is a member of the school board and running for re-election, is also going to be on this panel. My topic is an onslaught attack on public education. Was this contrived or necessary? That's going to be this Saturday. Please come out. It's a really important discussion on issues affecting our public schools, especially with the statements of takeover, the concerns of takeover, and why they're out there. This is a very important forum for you to attend. It's this Saturday, the 20th, at New Sunnymount Missionary Baptist Church. That's 4700 West Florissant, the corner of West Florissant and Shreve, right here in the city of St. Louis. And it begins at 1 o'clock and ends at 2:30. You know what? You need to be here. It's all about our kids, and it's all about education. And light refreshments will be available. If you have any questions, you need to call 374-5045. That's 374-5045. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Wayne, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
All right. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, it's great to have you here. What's up?
Okay, on that birthday deal. Kids are way out of control with that. My daughter says...
And you need to speak up a little bit more, Wayne.
Okay.
Okay.
I said my daughter told me her 16th birthday that...
You're drifting out. Can you kind of like put the phone closer to you? Because I'm having a hard time hearing
yeah.
you.
How about that?
Okay, much better.
Okay. She needs $100 every time I give her something. And she doesn't live with me. She stays with her mom, but... She has to have $100 if I'm going to do anything.
So what do you do about that? How do you respond to that?
Well, we had a long conversation this past birthday, and I'm just trying to deal with it and break down all the social pressures of her, peer pressure from her friends, because that's how their parents treat them. And, you know, just like you said, if you start to expect certain things, just a simple... gift is not good enough for him anymore.
So, do you spend her birthday with her?
Yes, I did this one.
Okay, and what did you all do?
We went to the mall. We went and ate. We had a conversation, like I said, and trying
Okay, so how did she take it?
She took it pretty well.
So what are you going to do for her next birthday party? I mean, her next birthday.
Probably it'll be a little more extravagant than this. But it's
see?
I mean, but not a lot. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying. What are you saying?
Nothing too extravagant because she'll be 17. So my plan would probably be, I'll discuss with her mom, probably get her a nice set of diamond earrings. And
she's 17. She's 17. All right. See? You'd see? See? All right. All right, Wayne. All right.
What else can you do?
Well, you can have the conversation and stick to what you're saying in the conversation.
Right. Well, as long as she just gets the understanding that it's not about the money and it's about the initial gift, I don't have a problem with it.
And how do you know that she gets that?
How do I know that I get that?
No, that she gets that.
Because she says she gets it.
Okay. All right, Wayne.
All right.
Thanks for your call. My name is Liz Brown. We're going to have a discussion about George W. Bush when I get back in the next hour. You don't want to miss it. That's why they call this Riveting Radio. Stay with me.
You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long...
For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. They don't like the plan, and they've said so. Today, President Bush meets with lawmakers who are against sending thousands of additional troops to Iraq. These lawmakers, by the way, are Republicans. Plenty of Democrats don't like it either. They'll try to stop it. Here's ABC's Pam Coulter.
A non-binding resolution rejecting the Bush troop surge is not good enough for two Democrats with their eye on the White House. Connecticut Senator Chris Dodd plans to offer an amendment that would cap troop levels at the current 130,000. Just back from a trip to Iraq, New York Senator Hillary Clinton is also proposing a troop freeze. She called the president's plan a losing strategy.
Two U.S. soldiers killed in the Al Anbar province are among the latest casualties in Iraq.
The last couple of weeks have been relatively calm by Iraqi standards. The past 36 hours, however, have been quite deadly. A trio of bombings yesterday in Baghdad, and now a deadly bombing in Kirkuk, which is a contested oil-rich city in the northern part of the country. It's unclear exactly why the violence has ratcheted up, but Iraq's prime minister, who's a Shiite, has his own theory. His argument is that Sunni insurgents, upset by the recent executions of two of Saddam Hussein's top aides, they are lashing out, he says. Dan Harris, ABC News, Baghdad.
It's another day without lights or heat for thousands of people from the plains to New England. The outage is due to a cold weather system, a huge one. Truck driver Henry Lopez says he slid around Houston this morning.
That was fishtailing at 30 miles an hour.
The cold weather is blamed for killing at least 54 people and almost all of the California citrus crop. A fire is still burning out of control at a train derailment south of Louisville, Kentucky. The cars were carrying hazardous chemicals. Officials had hoped it would burn out by now. Your kids may be watching that on YouTube. Three teenagers beating up another girl so badly she had to be hospitalized. Parents weren't going to press charges at first, Now that they've heard how many hits this video's gotten, they've changed their mind. This is ABC News.
Sam's Club has everything you need for your next football party. From Tostitos to Little Smokies to furniture taken straight from John Elway's house.
You mean my furniture line?
Yes, they'll be lining up at Sam's Club for party items like Pace Chunky salsa and John Elway's couch.
Not my sofa, my casual living collection.
Well, I can't cancel the movers now.
Yeah? How about I cancel your face?
Sam's Club, when only the greatest party of all time will do. 10% service fee applies to non-member purchases. Elway furniture available at samsclub.com.
I'm Mark Goldston, Chairman and CEO of Net Zero. We started Net Zero 8 years ago to provide the best access at the best price. The Internet's changed a lot since then, and Net Zero's changed with it. We added Norton antivirus, pop-up blockers, and the fastest surfing available over dial-up, and it all downloads in just 2 minutes. We pride ourselves in providing quality Internet access with prices starting at $9.95 a month. Plus, if you're not satisfied within the first 30 days, we'll give you your money back. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com.
A California murder case is in jeopardy because a key witness is missing, the accused man's son. Here's ABC's Gil Gross.
Hans Reiser is being held without bail in the murder of his wife in Oakland, California. One of the main witnesses against him was his own 7-year-old son. But the boy, who has a Russian passport, was packed off to St. Petersburg, where family members say he's too traumatized to ever return to the United States. At a Tuesday preliminary hearing, a judge called a halt to the case while prosecutors figure out what to do. Nina Reiser's minivan was found in September with her purse and groceries still inside. Her body's never been found. And a defense attorney says he doubts prosecutors can even prove she's dead. Gil Gross, ABC News.
So whatever happened to good old fights at hockey games? Amesbury High in Massachusetts was forced to forfeit last weekend's game with rival Newburyport when the crowd pelted the ice with debris, everything from golf balls to a live squid. Amesbury was trailing 5-0 at the time. Police say their fans made sure they couldn't come back. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your forecast for today. Partly cloudy skies with a high around 34 this evening. Look forward to partly cloudy skies, not quite as cold, low in the mid-20s. Moving on to Thursday, mostly cloudy through the day and partly cloudy in the evening with a high around the mid-30s. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high around 30. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 22 degrees. Stick around for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and your traffic, or your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this happen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this happen?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end?
But the hard
hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. My goodness gracious, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. And I was looking at a cartoon not too long ago. A cartoon that was about George Bush, Boy George. And it was a cartoon that spoke to all of the things that Boy George is taking from us. And it also spoke to the people that surround Boy George and their shame, enthusiasm for taking our stuff. You see Dick Cheney snarling at the televisions, snarling into the camera, snarling into the microphone, after wiping his hands on his pants after, I don't know, shooting somebody. And saying, yeah, of course we should be able to check the websites of every American, where they've been, surfing on the net. Now, you can't come into my house and find out who the energy barons were that I spoke with and promised them their multi-billion dollar profit that has never been seen in the history of the world. No, you can't have access to what I talked to them about. In fact, you can't have access, according to Boy George and Dick Cheney. You can no longer have access to who the visitors to the White House are. The FBI has signed an agreement with this administration saying, okay, we're not going to give up those records anymore. Mind you, nobody would have known about Monica Lewinsky visiting Bill Clinton had it not been for those records of visitors. And you didn't hear Democrats hollering for, let's eliminate the ability to find out who visits Boy George or any president or Bill Clinton or anybody. I think the question that needs to be asked, the concern that needs to be articulated, the question that needs to be raised is the question of, what kind of behavior is this? Now, we've had Dr. Justin Frank, who has written the book Bush on the Couch. We've had him on the show. Lord knows I want him on. Seems like we almost need him on every week. But we've had him on several times to talk about the mental place of Boy George, what kind of person he is psychologically. And I think that is the reason that we did that is so that we could better understand the decisions that are being made by this person. Now, there are those out there that would assess the decision-making of Boy George in different terms, not psychological terms such as ADD, as Dr. Justin Frank assessed Boy George as. But there are people that would assess Boy George in terms of the political decisions that he has made. And they would use a word that begins with the letter F. Fascist. Can we use that word to assess Boy George? Well, let's find out. We're going to have a conversation with Heather Vokouche, the author of Progressive Handbook. She has written an article using the F word. She's joining us from Vienna, Austria. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. You don't want to miss this conversation.
This new year, put meeting the love of your life at the top of your list.
New Year's Eve day, I said, I'm ready for eHarmony. I decided I really wanted to find a long-term relationship.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. There's no experience more magical than falling in love with that one person in the world that sees you, accepts you, and loves you passionately for who you really are.
He loves me for me.
She sees me more for who I really am.
Being seen and loved for who I am is incredible.
eHarmony helped me find the love of my life.
Make this the year that it happens for you. Check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your personality profile free. Let's get started finding your soulmate today. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and this hour we're having a discussion, Bush and the F word, F as in Frank. And my guest joining us from Vienna, Austria, is Heather Vokouche. Heather, good morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on, Liz.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Huh, the F word. Fascist?
Yeah.
Define the term for me.
Well, you know, that's a really interesting thing, because the whole idea of fascism has been really overused. And, in fact, Rumsfeld said that anybody who disagreed with his war policy was fascist. And so you've got a lot of different ideas out there. But in 2003, this guy named Lawrence Britt wrote a really interesting article, and he looked at the typical fascist regimes, including Mussolini's Italy and Hitler's Germany and Suharto's Indonesia. And what he did from there is he crystallized 14 points that could be found in all of these regimes. And what happened was he put out this list of 14 in 2003, and anybody who read it thought, oh my goodness, this is describing the Bush administration. And so the article really made quite a big fuss back in 2003.
Where are we in 2007?
Yeah, see, that's the interesting point. I started in late December. I thought, well, hang on. Okay, so let's just look at the year 2006, only that one, and see, according to these 14 points, you know, what happened? Did we move closer towards fascism, or did we somehow move away? And, I mean, as you can guess, it's just shocking the extent to which we moved towards a kind of fascist government. Now, I'm not saying that the U.S. is in a completely fascist place right now, but when we see how quickly we're going there, then it's got to be, you know, a concern for any U.S. citizen at all.
And it goes back to my question again of let's define the terms.
Well, again, I guess that's the thing, Liz, is you can't, there isn't one definition for what fascism is. But what we can do is look at, for example, what Lawrence Britt, some of the things that he talked about. He said it's characterized by strong nationalism, not caring about human rights, picking scapegoats and then blaming them for everything, problems with elections, a lot of corporatism and cronyism. And, of course, you see, you know, some are held together by violence, and always the military is really really supreme. But other fascist regimes, you don't need violence because the people are so controlled in other ways. And, you know, actually, I wanted to mention something. You talked about Dr. Justin Frank and the, you know, trying to understand Bush. And for me, that's also been interesting. I've got a master's in clinical psych and a lot of work in that. And for me, I always take it from the other perspective. It's like trying to understand this as a family system and the people in the United States being the family. For me, the deeper question is, why have we allowed them to get away with this stuff? And what can we do to stop that, basically?
And I guess when we talk about the issues of fascism, and we talk about strong nationalism being kind of a component of that assessment, what are some of the things that you see that are evident of the strong sense of nationalism?
Well, for example, I mean, any of us can see flags waving in our neighborhood and the bumper stickers
but
and
I
things
say,
like that.
I would say, Heather, that it's interesting for me because if I just do an anecdotal type of measurement, there aren't as many support our troop bumper stickers, magnets made in China on cars today as there were 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would agree with you with that on that, definitely. The interesting thing for me was how, for example, in writing this article, Bush and the F-Word, it focused on what the Bush administration has done in that area. And the example that I listed, I thought was just hysterical on one end. In July, Bush signed this act, and it's called the Freedom to Display the American Flag Act. And his quote was, he signed it so that, and I quote, Americans could express their patriotism here at home without burdensome restrictions, unquote. I mean, you know, what restrictions are those? And so it's kind of like, and he's issued throughout the year a number of what's called proclamations, which, I mean, for me sounds more like a king, you know, about various levels of various elements of patriotism. And so maybe people are taking those bumper stickers off, but the administration is really trying to use that card, and it still does work with some people.
So when we take a look at the sense of nationalism and the repercussions of that, what do we see? What do we see when we have these extreme forms of nationalism?
Well, in my opinion, to be proud of your country, for example, of course, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. But when nationalism gets mixed in with militarism, and when it gets mixed in with saying that only certain people inside the country are okay, and clearly this leads to racial issues and other people are not, then, you know, nationalism becomes corrupted with a bunch of really negative elements. We've also got, when we are so focused on nationalism then we're going to be less inclined, for example, to go for diplomacy in foreign policy. We're going to be more focused on really punitive measures in national security, trying to keep out the bad guys, and in essence also taking away our own rights in the process. So it's more how you define nationalism. It can be a healthy thing, and it can also be really, really very damaging.
History, I think, has far more examples of it being good than it does. I mean, of it being bad than it of being a good, don't you think?
I'm sorry?
History has far more examples of it being problematic than positive, don't you think?
Well, again, you know, I think it depends on how it's described. The name seems kind of scary in and of itself. But, again, you know, nobody's saying that we shouldn't be proud of our country. But when it's taken to the extreme that we're, you know, it's that thing that Bush said. It's you're with us or against us. And so, I mean, he never really defined who us is. I think us actually is the Bush administration, not the people of America. But
he would have us believe that it is us.
Yeah, he would have us believe, but then the laws certainly go in other areas. I think the one thing for me that was really interesting in writing this article was going through the just massive across-the-board corruption and the gifts that have been given to corporations. Point 9 of Britt's list is called Power of Corporations Protected, and point 13 is called Rampant Cronyism. And, you know, quite frankly, I consider myself very well informed, and I didn't even know some of these horrible things that had gone on in Congress and what have you. And so I believe that somebody attributed it to Stalin and said that nationalism something like corporatism is basically another idea of fascism. And so another thing we really need to look at is how the protection of corporations also is somehow turned around into our concept of nationalism.
And explain.
Well, for example, let me just give you some of these examples that we had from cronyism and the corruption that we had protection of corporations. In 2006, you got corporate profits. They increased to a 40-year high. Well, meanwhile, of course, the real wages declined. And so what that means, if you break down the numbers, corporate profits increased over 21%. But labor compensation only went up like just a little over 5%, and the real income, the real disposable income of people increased over half, just 0.5%. Now, right away that tells you that something is wrong. Another example that I think is really interesting is the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. I don't know if you know this, but they've been shutting down their regional libraries.
They right, we did a story on that. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've been shut. Not only have they been shutting them down, they've been selling the contents of them for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, you know, you got 350,000 of furniture, and you sell it for 400. And even, for example, you know, ripping up documents and taking things away from the internet so people can't access it. I mean, that's for absolutely no positive benefit. You know, this is to protect the people who are polluting, basically, and it's the American people who are going to suffer for that. What I thought was interesting is a lot of the incredible ways in which the Congress members have been involved in, you know, various felonies and various corruption. I mean, we've all heard about Abramoff, but what I didn't realize is that former Representative Ney, who's going to be sentenced later on this month to felony charges, he still gets to keep his congressional pension benefit.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
yes,
I mean, wow, what's going on there, you know? And the White House just recently stalled investigations into allegations of bribery from when Dick Cheney was CEO of Halliburton. And it just goes on and on across the board. You know, we just know that there's something wrong here. It's unbalanced.
You mentioned earlier that you have a degree in psychology, clinical psychology.
That's correct.
I guess, so then let me ask you this. Looking at and you raised the issue of the nation's response to, a lot of the nation's response to the actions of George Bush, what does it say about a person that sits still psychologically? What does it say about a person that sits still when someone like George Bush is saying, okay, I can look at your mail, I can find out on the internet where you've gone, you have to give up all of these civil liberties to stay here, and I'm doing this to keep you safe. What does it say about a person, or why does a person sit still in the midst of that?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Liz. And I think it also connects to issues like our education system, our media system, and certainly our electoral system. I go more towards, if you will, like a family system kind of thing. And so it isn't a case of blaming one side or the other, but more trying to understand what perpetuates it. And so let me get into that a little bit.
Well, let me hold off on that because I want to take a break here and give you an opportunity to speak to that without interruption. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. I'm talking to the author of Progressive Handbook. She's joining us from Vienna, Austria, Heather Vokusch. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, and you can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger.
Welcome back to The Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm speaking this morning with the author of Progressive Handbook, joining us from Vienna, Austria, Heather Vokusch. She's also the author of Return of Bush and the F-Word and F-Word in 2007. And we're talking about our nation's dysfunction, Heather.
And international dysfunction on many levels, but it's also, I think, it's a part of human nature,
okay.
You know, and so George Lakoff had a really interesting symbol for what we're talking about. He said that there were two kinds of families that you could kind of crystallize it down to, and one would be a strict father family. And in this, it's, you know, there's good and there's bad and there's yes and there's no and there's nothing in between. And the world is a scary, dangerous place, and so you need this strict guy, this strict, you know, father. And you also need, in this framework, you need harsh punishment. You need the military to be really big. You need to have the biggest gun kind of thing. And, you know, when you look at what has been going on and what we were talking about before, why has the system perpetuated? Well, when you're in a time of great fear and when you're in a time of crisis that people don't understand what's going on, well, they're going to look to this kind of strict authoritarian father. But the interesting thing is that if there is no war, if things become peaceful, if things are calm, then the strict father loses his job. You know, because if the world isn't such a big, bad, dangerous place, then you don't need that kind of leadership. And so what I think is interesting is how this kind of system that we've got going in the White House now can only perpetuate in constant conflict and constant war. So it's no wonder that right now they're basically looking at Iran and trying to attack them too.
Well, and we can't forget about what's happening with Somalia right now as well.
Exactly.
But I get. I'm sorry, go ahead. No, you go ahead. Well, one of the things that I wanted to speak to about what you just said about the describing the world as such a big, bad, terrible place. Not only, from my perspective, is it contrived, it also goes against the history of this country as such a, we don't care. We don't tend to care about things that happen outside of our border. We didn't get involved in World War II until we got attacked. You know, we weren't really involved in going over there and righting the wrong that was happening within Nazi Germany until we really had a axe to grind in it. So the idea to me that we care about the world is such a big bad place about us is inconsistent, because the fact of the matter is that nobody cared about Iraq before. Very few people in America cared about Iraq, and they really don't, because to me the proof of it is that if you cared about Iraq, you'd care about the deaths of 600,000 Iraqi people.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point, clearly. But what we can see, at least under Bush, is that each of these things that have happened, I mean, you're looking at Afghanistan, you're looking at Iraq and potentially Iran, and certainly, you know, Somalia, all of these in one way or another can be seen as connected to oil. And so that's also another thing that we really do need to look at. And also, of course, this so-called war on terror. I think Gloria Steinem had a really interesting thing. She was talking about Bush, and she said something to the effect that, you know, there's two kinds of people in the world. One is the kind of person who thinks that there's only two kinds of people in the world, and that's his problem. And I thought that was perfect, because there's no understanding of the finer details.
So then our response to it, why do we're taking this because too many of us are taking this because of this whole strict father thing going on?
Well, I think, you know, that's one element of it, but look how the media perpetuates this. I mean, a lot of the media, you know, all of the death and destruction and nuclear bombs going off on TV shows, that's enough to keep people really scared. And the more they're scared, then they're going to want to be on the side that has the biggest gun, kind of thing. And also, I mean, with our economy having so many problems, you've got people working, you know, 3-4 jobs just to try to make ends meet, and conveniently they're not going to have a lot of time to go to protest rallies or whatever if you're really just working very hard to pay the rent. And so I think that these rollbacks all come together. They meet in a certain place that can, I think, without calling it a conspiracy theory, they can be defined as social control if we actually look at it.
Well,
go ahead. Yeah.
My observation of that is that I've got no problem with saying conspiracy, because things happen for a reason, and things happen intentionally. Many things happen intentionally, and I look at the media as one of those elements. When you look at the television shows and the movies that are out here, from my perspective, they seem to be designed to continue to support this position of them and us. When you look at the fact that there was no that television stations refused to play a version of the truth about Ronald Reagan's biography, they refused to play it. When you look at it, at the fact that we have a lot of television shows out here now, and a lot of movies that are being made where brown-skinned Arab people, Arab-sounding people, are carrying bombs, and Americans are trying to save us from those people. Jamie Foxx is getting ready to release a movie where he plays an FBI agent that goes to Iraq to solve a bombing in Iraq. When you look at shows like 24, that's a hugely popular show, but when you dissect 24, it's really about, I'm not going to let any stinking laws stand in my way. I'm going to be able to torture who I want and what I want for the greater good, because I guess I'm the super daddy too. I'm saving you, and the laws are not going to stand in my way. There are a lot of things that contribute to those things that make people accept what George Bush is doing.
Well, yeah, that's really, really well put. I like that. I'm the super daddy too. I like that. And so it's no surprise that a recent survey found that half of U.S. citizens have a really negative perception of Islam, for example, and one in four have extreme anti-Muslim views. Mm. You know, so it's no surprise in that sense. As far as the media, I had a really interesting story. When I was younger, I was in the Peace Corps in the Philippines for a while, and it turned out, I don't know if you heard, there we recently had these horrible storms there, and hundreds of people were basically buried in volcanic lava, in volcanic ash, and this happened to be the village that I lived in, and I was freaked out. Literally hundreds of people died. So I searched all over the internet for information, you know, CNN, what have you, BBC, but the main story of the day was that George Clooney's pig had died. And it was all over the internet about this pig, Max, and how old he was. And yet I could find no information about these hundreds of people who had died. And so I just thought, well, that's really quite telling. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing against George Clooney's pig, but, I mean, what are our priorities here?
1-877-920-WGNU. Zach, do you have a question for my guest?
Yeah, hi, Liz. Let me get off speakerphone real quick. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yeah, no, I had more of a comment than a question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, I wanted to say, you know, there's three, to me, when I think about fascism, there's three main components to it. And one of them is one that you guys have addressed, which is a strong nationalistic, a blind nationalistic tendency. And I think that America borders on that sort of blindness a lot of times because we're kept so ignorant to what our government's actions are. Then I think another strong component is a real collusion between large corporate entities and the government in terms of global money making. And then the third component to me is a state of perpetual warfare, which is what sort of imbibes us all with that feeling that the world's constantly a dangerous environment. When you always have an enemy, you know, there's some afraid of.
And I think that when you add in the hundreds of years of racism in setting up who the bad guy is, when your state of perpetual warfare is directed towards dark-skinned people, it makes your selling of it a lot easier. We have a really bad connection there. But, I mean, Zach makes three good points. Blind nationalism, collusion between corporation and government and governmental money-making, and the state of perpetual warfare.
Yeah, definitely. And these are some that we have addressed here, too. You know, one I would like to add to that, and it goes along with all of that, is the whole idea not only of racism but also of sexism.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in this constant warfare, well, who is, you know, who is the lower class, and that tends to be women.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look, I mean, this is one of the entire chapters in my book, The Progressive Handbook, Get the Facts and Make the Difference. Now, all of the rollbacks under Bush just in women's rights, it's just staggering. But again, we're not hearing about this stuff in the mainstream media.
But we also have to talk about what has been done to soften up the way for Boy George, and particularly with as it pertains to women and people of African descent. We have this whole understanding or disdain of the word liberal. That's huge. That's absolutely a huge thing. Then we have disdaining of women's rights. Or and what, as a person of African descent, I see the same thing happening with women, in that people of African descent are being told, you know what, we went through the civil rights, we won that war, it's all done, no more racism, let's not talk about that anymore because we fixed that. The same with women's issues as well. You know, we had that whole thing, feminism thing, and women are getting it just as much as men are. We don't need to talk about that anymore.
Oh, right, and how ridiculous, because as, you know, simultaneously the Bush administration is completely defunding women's programs, making these horrible appointments that will stay in power long after he's gone, you know, cutting back on contraception rights. So you're right. I mean, we need to look at what is being done rather than what is being said.
And also understand that another softening up, from my perspective, Heather, is what's happened in our public schools. Our children have been made to understand that they have to sacrifice their rights on the altar of law and order. We can go in and search your locker without a warrant. You can't write in your newspaper what you want to write. You have no rights as a student. We can put bars up. We can put guards in. We can taser you within your school. And that, from my perspective, that sets up an entire generation of students that are willing to say whatever the government wants to do, they get to do because they did it to me when I was growing up.
Well, that's another really good point, too, yeah. And also, you know, we need to look at this whole No Child Left Behind Act and how schools often push kids out, you know, of school who basically can't make the grade on these tests, so that way the school won't lose the funding for, you know, this No Child Left Behind. And so you're creating an underclass of students who quite frequently do, you know, tend to be both, you know, poor and also, you know, from non-white, put it that way. And so it just perpetuates this negative, you know, pattern. I mean, clearly that's another issue we need to look at. But also, you know, we need to look at our elections and how they obviously are rigged. I thought it was just staggering that in October, a Gallup poll showed that only 28% of Americans were, quote, very confident that their vote would be counted correctly in the midterms. I mean, that's shocking. And I don't see enough being done, at least yet, in this new Congress to address these, the real, you know, scary elements of integrity in our electoral system.
1-877-920-WGNU. My conversation this hour is with the author of The Progressive Handbook. Her name is Heather Vokush. She's also the author of The Return of Bush and the F Word in 2007. My name is Liz Brown. I'll get back to the caller as soon as we get back and as soon as we get to this. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else indeed. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. You know you need it? They have it. Get on down to Sears, 3425 Union. Great deals. You know what? The trifecta of shopping experience. Great deals, great locations, and a great customer service. It doesn't get any better. Get on down there and tell them I told you to.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the host of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
We don't need no
welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. My guest this hour is the author of Progressive Handbook. She's joining us from Vienna, Austria, Heather Vokush. Heather, welcome back. Let me get to some of our other callers here. Dimitri, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I'm enjoying the comments made by Mrs. Vokush, and I have two statement and a question for her, if I may. The statement is by G.K. Chesterton. I wonder if you've read this. He talks about patriotism. He describes it this way. My country, right or wrong, is like saying my mother drunk or sober. And the question I have for you is that are we trying to transplant our patriotism to other countries in the world? Do we have a right to do that? I wonder if you'd comment on that.
Thank you, Dimitri.
Dimitri, I love that quote. I hadn't heard that before. That's
I'm
wonderful.
Writing it down. I am writing that quote down. That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing, and that's a good question, Dimitri. The question is to transplant our patriotism. I think that's not what we're trying to transplant. I think that, in fact, there were some very interesting quotes coming out of the Bush press conferences recently saying that Iran must do what we want and they must learn to respect us, kind of thing. This isn't patriotism. This is transferring this whole idea that, again, I mean, we could go back to the analogy of this strict father and we have the biggest gun and you must do what we want, kind of thing. The predictable thing is that under Bush, the reputation of the United States, obviously, I mean, everybody knows, has just gone into the toilet. And for me, it's interesting because I spend half of my time in Europe and half my time in the States, and it's very interesting just on the street level. People usually say, okay, well, Americans are good, but, you know, the government is really a problem. But as the years go by and as more and more horrible things happen from the Bush administration, I find that people are kind of jumping into judging the entire country. And so if whatever it was that Bush was trying to transplant, if it's patriotism or control or whatever, it really has ended up hurting the entire country and each of us, and that's a very serious thing.
Well, can we see the roots of a colonialistic history, a legacy, in these assertions to a country like Iran? I mean, do it our way. You need to respect us. We know what's better. I mean, can you say that about what happened in Iraq? Can you say that about what's happening in Somalia right now, that this is simply a repackaged form of colonialism?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. And I've to that end, I have a kind of funny story. I don't know if you know, but Bush came to Vienna in July. And what a disaster that was. It was really funny because just a week before, they had this huge Latin American meeting, and there's Hugo Chavez and Morales and all these people, and it was just fun. The city was just normal, and Chavez and Morales ended up going to a bar, and people couldn't find them, and they were just hanging out with the locals. Well, when Bush, yeah, it was hysterical.
How cool is that?
When Bush came, it was just amazing. I mean, they locked off the
lockdown
city. They had to spend a million euros, which is like $1 million on us. And get this, Bush flew in at U.S. taxpayer expense all of his cars that drove him from the airport to the hotel, and all of his toilet material, his poo-poo basically, was flown back to the United States. You know, and so he asked.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Did you say what I just thought I heard you? And maybe because
certainly did.
Maybe because you're in
the
Vienna.
The opinion pieces over here were saying, yeah, and take your shit with you too, you know, because it was just, and they were saying, I mean, the man is not acting like a president, he's acting like a king, you know, and so this would go along with your, with the colonialism that you said before.
Oh my gosh. Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
I could go on for hours about that.
Carpo, you have a comment for our guest?
Yes, that sounds like vintage Bush. But my comment is, this whole situation with Iran, I'm wondering how many Americans really know the history of what went on in Iran. And why do the Iranians, if there's any people out there that they should hate, it probably would be America. But it's not the Iranians' fault that we sent the CIA in there and killed the president and installed the Shah. You know, I'm just amazed at how our media just ignores all of the facts of history. I wonder how many people realize that if we would have supported Vietnam during the Vietnam War and told France that, no, you can't colonize Vietnam, it would have been altogether different.
Well, think of how many people that would be here that aren't here now.
Exactly, and even Cuba. Yeah. If we would have supported Castro and said, hey, you did a good job by running Lucky Luciano and the rest of those clowns and Batista out of Cuba, we're going to support you. He would have never went communist. And we wouldn't be going through all of this madness that we're going through right now. And it just perpetuates on and on, and our media ignores all of the facts of history, and just we just go around the world just destroying people.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. And Heather, let me get back to Zach that got cut off on us. Zach, good morning and welcome back.
Thank you so much for getting me back on the air. What I wanted to say was with the three prongs that I talked about, the blind nationalism, the perpetual state of warfare, and collusion with corporate entities, is that it all really, okay, the logical conclusion to me of capitalism is fascism. Because fascism is very good for business. It's very organized. There's no opposition to the business. The government and the business are working strongly together. So to me, in America, the largest threat that we have to working towards a fascist system is the military-industrial complex, which is not only unconstitutional, which, you know, requiring a standing army, but requires us, you know, it's such a boost to our economy to every state basically has an arm of the military-industrial complex, Boeing or what, you know, what have you, in every state. It's such a large part of our economy, we can't necessarily even afford to not constantly be at war. So I think what ends up happening is the suspension of reason. You know, we're driven towards the nationalism to create the perpetual state of warfare. And I think, really, you know, we went to a standing army after World War II, and I think it was a huge step, a huge unconstitutional, illegal step towards American fascism.
All right. I'm going to have to let you go on that, Zach, because we only have a few more minutes. But thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
Certainly. And Heather, comment.
Well, I think it clearly is an interesting point and one that's well taken. My question as I was hearing him speak was, I wonder what exactly the Democrats would do differently, you know, as far as because they also are tied into the system. And so
and
that's
something
we
need. And they stood silent on a lot of these issues with the complaint about and stood silent and agreed. They didn't have to vote for a lot of this stuff. They voted
exactly
for it anyway.
Right.
They didn't have to vote for it. Nobody twisted their arm and said, you got to vote for this. And one more thing that we haven't had a chance to get to really quickly as an element of fascism is what you talk about, the disdain and the suppression of intellectuals and the arts. I think it began with the stealing of the first election. I heard somebody on my show actually say, well, you don't have to be smart to be president. You just surround yourself with smart people. Huh?
Well, that's a good point. I thought one of the things that I thought was interesting is this. They said that only Turkey ranked lower in this looking at 34 different countries. And did they or did they not accept the concept of evolution? Now, that means that the U.S. was number 33 in the entire world, you know. But, you know, one thing I think that's really important, because I don't want to leave this whole discussion on a kind of bummer note, and in my books, The Progressive Handbook, that's a really strong point for me. I think the point is to just to figure out what we can do to fight back. And so what I would like to encourage, for example, everybody who's listening and everybody who's called in with their fabulous comments and questions is contact Congress, you know, and say, well, why aren't you talking about the Military Commissions Act? Why aren't you talking about, you know, the Patriot Act and changing it? And, for example, you know, write letters to the editor. Call in to Liz Brown. You know, get involved in your community. These next 2 years are going to be critical, and we aren't, in the horrible place yet. We still have the chance to fight back. And so I'd like to leave this on a positive note and say that we are empowered.
Absolutely.
And it's the process of taking the power that gives us the power. So we need to take it 10 minutes every single day, minimum.
And where can people read some of your writings?
Yeah, I'd invite everybody to come visit my website. I know my last name's kind of weird, so I'll spell it. It's www.heatherwokusch.com. And if you go to that site, then you can click on and go to the book site. And on the book site, I have this whole thing called an action center that has all of these links that you can do to get involved and inspiring people and interesting quotes and what have you. So if you ever just feel bummed about what's going on, I would invite you to visit the action center and get a little inspiration for the day.
Heather, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Well, thank you, Liz. It's been really a pleasure.
Take care now.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake-up call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. We have another day of riveting radio for you, in store for you. So until then, thanks so much for listening, and stay strong.
Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. Born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can
this end? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.